hard way. Wildland Fire is a fact of life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is the place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
Cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
We are right in the middle of Cigar Oktoberfest as we celebrate the amalgamation of two outstanding, naturally created products of Mother Nature. Cigars and beer. Both rely upon Mother Nature. Both rely upon the raw materials to come from the ground. Both take a lot of TLC and aging until they are ready for consumption. And today, in our second hour, as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest, we'll be joined by Chris Fornari, the editor of BrewBound.com. Great online resource for craft beer news and information and brand info. We'll talk with him about the state of the craft beer industry, talk about what is going on, changes in taste trends, some recommendations on some craft beer as we enjoy brewskis and stogies front and center. Long Ash greetings and salutations, a Long Ash snappy salute, semper delectatio. Always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Your global five-star commanding general and alpha male in chief, front and center from Command Center Alpha in the Cigar City of Tampa. As always, great to have you. Make sure you follow us on social media. Go to CigarDave.com, upper right-hand corner. All the links to follow us are there. I did receive, Sergeant Steve, I got a lot of retweets and a lot of comments on the tweet that I sent out with a video commentary of what took place between the Buffalo Bills and the Houston Texans last Sunday. And as a friend of mine, after he watched it, he said, "One thing I've got to tell you, General, you don't lack passion. There's no doubt about that." Did you see what happened in that Buffalo Bills meltdown?
Oh, that was Nathan Peterman. That was awful.
We had the game won. The defense is playing lights out. The Buffalo Bills defense, legit top five defense in the NFL. No ifs, ands, or buts. They held Deshaun Watson. They just shut him down. The game gets tied with, about 2 minutes, 2:10, something like that. The Bills still have two timeouts, two-minute warning. Nathan Peterman goes back to pass, like on his own 20-yard line, pick six. Okay, there's still time. No problem. Still time. Throws another interception. Absolutely horrible. And I made my feelings very clear. So, in any event, it's always worth following me at Twitter because one thing, and I do state this, it's never boring. And in my video commentaries, I did state very clearly, not sufficient for work. And if eloquent profanity offends you, you have been warned. Quite the afternoon of football. And at this point in time, with the lack of brain trust going on at One Bills Drive, I'd rather just see him lose every game. And I'm going to tell you, I think Josh Allen going to be a draft bust. You know what, Sergeant Steve? I think we may do a podcast just for our Buffalo listeners or Buffalo Bills fans. We may do that. Not this week. Maybe I'll do that.
You've been saying since the draft, Josh Allen would be a bust.
I checked my Twitter feed. Correct. If you look at everything about him, and by the way, if you saw on, Thursday night, if you saw Josh Rosen, another disaster. I wasn't high on Josh Rosen either. I don't think he's going to. I'll tell you, I think the two picks, Sam Darnold and
Baker Mayfield,
I think they're going to be the only two legit quarterbacks coming out of this draft.
Josh Rosen, the problem he's got, he has no offensive line. I mean, that is an awful offensive line. So I don't know if we know how good he's going to be yet. I don't think he's going to be great.
He's got a terrible line, too. The problem is, from Josh Allen's perspective,
is the worst. Arizona may be the worst in football.
Could be, but Josh Allen, when you look at it, they're open receivers. I thought initially there was no separation. I watched the All-22 tape. Let me tell you, there was separation. He's holding the ball too long, and he's got the same affliction that Tyrod Taylor has. He can't see down the field and release that ball quickly. Holds on to it, which is not an uncommon issue. Yes, he's early on in his rookie career. However, I think one could deduce early on, I'm not seeing any improvement. Normally from game one to two to four to five, you see improvement. He's regressing. He's injured. He's going to be sitting for a while. And we've got Derek Anderson, that incredible future Hall of Famer that's going to start this coming Sunday, tomorrow. What an absolute. In fact, I just received word President Donald J. Trump has declared the Buffalo Bills quarterback situation a federal disaster area. It is eligible for federal disaster relief aid. In any event, hey, got to. I need to mention a longtime friend of mine, longtime friend of this show, quite a interesting character, great guy, cigar connoisseur, fun to be around, great alpha male. I'm speaking about Dennis Huff, the owner of the famous Moonlight Bunny Ranch in Nevada, as well as six other legal brothels, or as he likes to refer to them as, houses of pleasure partying. And he also was the former star of HBO's Cat House. Dennis celebrated his 72nd birthday last weekend, had a huge weekend of parties and celebrities, people that came out to the Moonlight Bunny Ranch to celebrate with him. And on Tuesday, he was found dead, unresponsive in the morning after his weekend of birthday, 72nd birthday celebratory maneuvers. And just almost shocking because it's just so much life, great personality. The last time I saw Dennis was 3 years ago down in Miami at the Eden Rock Hotel. I was attending the Florida Association of Broadcasters Convention, and he was there for another event, and I can't remember what it was, but he was with Bunny Cammy, Bunny Ranch Cammy, who was his girlfriend at the time. So Dennis was 69, and I think she was 23 or 24, and having a great time, had a couple of fine dames. We had a lot of laughs, had some great cigars. And there is a quote from Bunny Cammy that she made to me that was so good that I had to write it down. The problem is there is no way in hell that I could ever state what she said on a terrestrial broadcast of the Cigar Dave Show because every one of our vast number of Cigar Dave affiliates would probably lose their license. But I'm going to probably do a special R-rated, uninhibited podcast whereby I state exactly what she said. And I'm going to tell you right now, the feminists are going to go absolutely bonkers. They're going to go wild. They're going to have they're going to go into cardiac arrest immediately as soon as they hear it. And in fact, wait a minute. I want to just look at this. Oh, here it is. Yeah, this is a classic, and there is absolutely no way in any way, shape, or form I can state this on the show. But it happens to deal with a woman's. I'm not even going to get into it. I'm just not even going to get into it. It is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 16 words that will leave an indelible impression upon you. And she's right. And every woman that I've ultimately talked to said, Bunny Ranch Cammy is correct. So maybe I will post her brilliant quote or I will mention it in a podcast. We shall see. But Dennis Huff was my guest on a regular basis at the Cigar Retailers Convention whenever it was in Vegas. And over the last 4 years it had been, or 3 years it had been in four years in Las Vegas. And he would always call me and say, General, thinking of making the trip over. I'm like, Dennis, you're coming over as my guest. We would have some great cigars, great cocktail, just a fun guy. And we shared just a lot of laughs. And a lot of people that didn't really know him looked at him and said, oh, he's a pimp. And my answer was, no, he's really not a pimp. He is a businessman. He ran his brothels 100% legitimately, never had any tax issues. In fact, he told me an interesting stat. He said, the legal brothels in the state of Nevada have never once, or at least all of his, have never once had any STD, because the girls are tested every week. It is all safe sex. Everything is done legitimately. Never had any IRS issues. The girls all made great money. Nobody forced those women there. They wanted to come back. And he was telling me stories that someone would come make enough money in 1 week or a weekend to last for 3-4 months, and then that would be it. So Dennis Huff, 72, rest in peace, my friend. Great cigar connoisseur, great alpha, fun guy to be around, great personality all the way around, and very magnetic, and we will certainly miss him. So, Dennis, when we conduct the National Cigar Lightation Ceremony, we will do so today in your honor. Men are under attack, and I have two examples. And when we come back, the first one I didn't get to last week, musician John Mayer at a concert in Baltimore went after masculine men. And then there is an article that was in the Washington Post from last week that I must get to from a feminist named Victoria Bissell Brown. And I'll just give you the headline. Thanks for not raping us, all you good men, but it's not enough. Oh, I am going to be loaded, locked and loaded on these two stories when we continue.
The October selection for the Cigar Dave Officers Club is an A.J. Fernandez sampler. Featuring the Enclave Broadleaf, this bold blend is accentuated by an earthy, full-flavored select Connecticut Broadleaf wrapper and fillers from Nicaragua. Not a member of the Officers Club? Get premium cigars shipped directly to you every month by signing up today at CigarDave.com.
I pride myself on putting together fantastic selections for the Cigar Dave Officers Club. I want you to be able to experience great cigars that have unique tastes from different countries, different flavor profiles. And I've got to tell you, the October 2018 selection that we have put together from A.J. Fernandez, absolutely spectacular, off the charts. A.J. Fernandez, nobody knew A.J. Fernandez 10 years ago. And now A.J. Fernandez, one of the largest cigar manufacturers, so well-renowned and well-respected not only for the tobacco that he grows but for his blending prowess, that many of the larger manufacturers, General Cigar, Altadis, they have all gone to A.J. and said, A.J., we need you to blend cigars for us. And we've seen this over the last number of years, cigars being released. So when I was able to talk to the powers that be at A.J. Fernandez, to Salim Hanono, and talk to Frankie Santos, and said, gents, we got to put together a phenomenal October 2018 selection. They said, General, we got just the selections. We start off with an A.J. Fernandez Bellas Artes, inspired by the Bellas Artes National Museum of Art in Cuba. This cigar is an art form in and of itself, wrapped in A.J.'s exclusive Rojita Nicaraguan wrapper. Smooth, delightful notes of cinnamon and cedar. Then we put in the A.J. Fernandez Enclave Broadleaf. If you like a full-bodied, full-flavored cigar, you will love the Enclave Broadleaf. Combination of a Connecticut Broadleaf wrapper, Nicaraguan fillers, a lot of spiciness, a lot of power, but no harshness. And finally, the A.J. Fernandez San Latano Requiem Maduro, named after A.J.'s birthplace in Cuba. The San Latano Requiem Maduro, a very luxurious, rich cigar with one of my favorite wrappers, an oily Mexican San Andreas Morón wrapper. The cigar is an amalgamation of chocolate, light sweetness, creaminess. Great cigars from A.J. Fernandez, the October 2018 Officers Club selection.
Arriving
as a wussified beta male. Departing as a certified alpha male. Cigar Dave, mission accomplished.
John Mayer, recording artist, was in the middle of a cancer benefit a few weekends ago at the Modell Performing Arts Center in Baltimore, where I used to reside after college. Baltimore, great town. And he went off on a tangent about toxic masculinity. And this was just after the time Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh had just been sworn in. So clearly John Mayer had been triggered. Sergeant Steve, let me ask you a question. Can you name one John Mayer hit or song?
Your Body is a Wonderland?
Never heard of it.
Came out in 2001.
I'm looking right now online. It says the top 10 best John Mayer songs. Gravity, Covered in Rain, Daughters, Why Georgia, Your Body's a Wonderland. I've never heard of this guy. Who is he? I guess from what I hear, he's a good guitarist. But
he's a hell of a guitarist.
Well, I did listen to a couple of his things. Very chick music. Very chicky.
Oh, yes.
Very
chicky. It's not your type of music at all.
No, definitely not. Very chicky, very in touch with his feminine side, BS, that kind of thing. Well, during his concert, he stopped and went on a tangent about toxic masculinity. And we have the audio, and I would like to play it for you. Because, first of all, if I'm going to a concert, I want to hear a performer play. I don't want to hear him get into a political rant. And it baffles me why they do it. People shell out money to hear them play, not to hear them conduct a political rally. But let's take a listen to John Mayer as he finishes a set and just starts going on this political tangent.
It's the idea that if you're a man, any woman you see, you should be able to get an erection. And when we don't, that's the trauma. That I don't want it to be the male contract. I'm telling you that's the contract, and we have to tear the contract up. And we... What's that? No, it doesn't. No, hold on, this is fine. She's actually asking a really decent, pertinent question. What you're saying, what is the male contract then? The male contract is between the ages of whatever, puberty and college, to be instructed to have a class, to have a voice of reason taught to young men. You are not supposed to be able to do this to everything that moves. You are not entitled to be able to do this to everything that moves. This does not come naturally to a man. This does not come unnaturally to a man. You do not possess the universal ability to have any woman that you see. They're scared and you're scared. And I'm just going on record as revealing the trauma of men feeling like they've fallen short of a bull alpha male contract that nobody can live up to. And until we get rid of that in men, we won't have the life that we all deserve. And I'm sorry for taking up your time to be able to say that. I don't think it's controversial. I think it's the truth. And I don't want to sick fathers begin to your daughters and walk away without adding that amendment in this statement.
I don't know what male contract he's referring to. There is no male contract. I mean, there's so many just egregiously, factually incorrect elements in his diatribe. I don't even know where to begin. This nonsense that he says that it's an alpha male contract nailed into boys' heads from a young age that they should get an erection at the sight of every woman. What kind of nonsense is this? Who's ever said that? I don't know any man that said, oh, there's a woman, I'm getting an erection. And he says, we've got to get over this nonsense, this ability to think we can have any woman we see? Who says that? I don't know of any man that walks up to a woman and says, you're a woman, I can have you. That's how it is. He is delusional. Now, I know that a lot of these rockers and these musicians, you know, are on drugs or they have taken drugs in the past. The only thing I can ascribe this to is that perhaps the mind-altering drugs that John Mayer may have taken one time of his life, and I don't know if he did, but the only explanation for his incredibly absurd comments are that somewhere along the line, the drugs had a mind-altering effect on his reasoning skills. And from puberty to college, we need to take a class to learn how to be a man. This is just so far-fetched. And I'm telling you, just listening to that, the audience was uncomfortable. And at the end, he apologizes for taking such a sensitive subject, he says, during the concert. Well, guess what? If I'm sitting in the concert, my answer would have been, shut up and play. Or I would have challenged him, because some woman said something from the audience. I would have said, I'm happy. If you want to get into a debate, a discussion about alpha masculinity, I'm happy to come up there and have a legitimate conversation, but not the pablum nonsense that you are spewing. I know of no boy that has ever been told or educated from the time they are a kid until the time they are an adult or past college where someone has said to them, you have the right to have every woman you want. You have the right to have an erection at any woman you see. Look, if a woman is hot, shwing. But what nonsense that all of a sudden you're sitting there saying, okay, well, you know what? I'm going to have an erection. I see this woman. Trust me, there are a lot of women out there. Forget it. No chance. This is nothing more than a feminist, a wussified beta feminist singer that has a deep-seated hatred of true alpha males. Because as I've said, as we know, a true alpha male is polite, is refined, treats women with nothing but the utmost respect and class. John Mayer, you, my friend, need a remedial course. You need Cigar Dave's Alpha Male Boot Camp, and I'm happy to oblige. The reality is that we see so many wussified beta males, and I'm sure John Mayer, just listening to his music, you can tell that there is some chromosome that has changed the alpha male chromosome to the beta, wussified beta male chromosome. And there is no doubt in my mind that there is a large contingency of men that have a deep-seated hated beta males for a deep-seated hatred of alpha males. They're insecure. I see it all the time. I see wussified betas that try to stick their peacock feathers out and say, oh, you think you're an alpha male? Well, I know I'm an alpha male. And I know also that alpha males do not treat women in the manner in which he states. No man I know, no alpha male, thinks that he's entitled to do whatever he wants without consequence. No male, I have never, nor any alpha male I know, would ever walk up to a woman and say, I see you, therefore I have the right to have you. Fantasy land. Absolute fantasy land. And clearly there was no alpha male in the audience to say, not so fast, Johnny Cakes. You are wrong about alpha males, and you are wrong about boys and men. They are not taught to do the things that you stated. Hey, don't forget, if you remember the Officers Club, Cigar Dave Officers Club, the October 2018 selection off the charts from A.J. Fernandez, the A.J. Fernandez Bellas Artes, the A.J. Fernandez Enclave Broadleaf, A.J. Fernandez San Latano Requiem Maduro has been shipped out.
You need to add some alpha to your Facebook newsfeed. By following The General, you'll get the latest intel in the world of cigars, info on the show each week, and see what The General is smoking. Click like at facebook.com/CigarDave.
In 1964, José O. Padrón began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padrón cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padrón controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padrón family, it's called making great cigars. The Padrón lines include the Padrón 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padrón Tradition traditional line. All Padron cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padron. For your Padron retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padron is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning. Tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and...
The sub above difference is the silver lining. Order Jersey Mike's for your game day party, and rest assured that even if your team doesn't win, your mouth does. Victory is all yours. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. The sub above difference is the shortcut. Just order online, avoid the line, and grab a sub with your name on it. Congrats! You're now the envy of the entire line. Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above.
Jersey Mike's, next to Trader Joe's off of Hilltop.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club. This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
What does it take to be called the best of the North State? More importantly, what does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes a business ownership, management, and staff that work together to let their customers know that they're not just customers, they're family. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition Center has held to that commitment. Their commitment to bring to you the best possible products at the lowest possible prices. To never buy closeouts, overstocks, outdated, improperly formulated, or otherwise stressed merchandise. To provide you with a trained professional staff to help you make the right product decisions for the health of you and your family. To listen, to respond, and to always say thank you. Because we realize that we're all in this together. What does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes you. Thank you from everyone at Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
Unlimited and secure supply of pleasure sticks available for the general to enjoy. It's time for National Cigar Litation Maneuvers.
Well, I've selected two very unique products for our National Cigar Litation and Libation Ceremony. First up, my cigar. Davidoff of Geneva this week introduced the brand new Florida Selection 2018. It contains the Florida sun-grown cigar tobaccos that are grown in Claremont, Central Florida by my good friend Jeff Borsiewicz, the owner of the Corona Cigar Stores in Orlando, as well as the Davidoff of Geneva Store Lounge in the cigar city of Tampa, and also the FSG Farm in the middle of the state. This has been a labor of love, and Davidoff decided to come out with a very special cigar that includes the Florida sun-grown cigar tobaccos. Only one size, a 6-inch by 52 ring gauge bellicoso. 6 inches in length, 52 7 inch in diameter at the foot, a bellicoso, meaning it looks like a torpedo pointed head. Now, this particular cigar, even though it is called the Florida Selection, it is not a Florida Puro. No way, shape, or form could you do that. But it's got a very unique blend. The wrapper is an Ecuadorian Habano 2000. The binder is a Jalapa Nicaraguan. And the fillers come from Esteli, Nicaragua, and some Dominican, including some Piloto Viso, San Vicente Seco, and Yamasa Lajero. And, of course, the Florida Selection refers to the single filler tobacco leaf, the Seco, from the Florida Sun Grown Farms in Claremont. I sampled one of these cigars earlier this week when Davidoff sent me a bunch to try. Very nice cigar, a lot of flavor. It's not a mild flavored cigar. It's definitely more in the medium full size. Only 2,500 boxes, limited production. 10 cigars in a box, 25,000 cigars, that's it. Comes in a very nice black vertical box, a nice wood with almost a varnished box. Not an inexpensive cigar, $29.90, so $30 per cigar, very limited. The Davidoff Florida Selection 2018, my cigar of choice for the National Cigar Light Dejeun Ceremony.
Cigar-altering and highly sharpened leaf-exposing device.
Self-sharpening double-edged stainless steel guillotine ready to go. That's what I've got to use on the head of this torpedo. Can't use a piercer. Could use a V-cut, but it wouldn't be so great. Got to use the double-edged guillotine.
Maximum BTU flame-throwing and heat-producing apparatus.
This giant torch from the Cigar Dave R&D Laboratories. It is called the Mala. Make America Lightate again. Very nice lighter. Big handle. Umpteen jet flames, that's what I would use on this Davidoff Florida Selection 2018.
Cigar pre-lightation checklist complete. No faults detected. Area clear of all enemies of pleasure. Approval to go throttle up in 3, 2, 1.
Perfect cut. As always, let me toast the foot of this absolutely magnificent looking cigar. Oh, the aroma on this cigar is absolutely fabulous. Nice, deep, dark, almost, I would say, cocoa-y, almost a chocolatey type of wrapper coloration, but not a Maduro, but very nice, deep, dark brown, toasting the foot of this cigar. Multi-country tobacco in this cigar, starting with the Ecuadorian Habano, with the Nicaraguan binder, Nicaraguan filler, some Dominican filler, Florida filler. I will puff and rotate. Here we go. Great raw. Wow, a lot of flavor right off the top. There's no ifs, ands, or buts that this Davidoff Florida Selection 2018 is a powerful, flavorful cigar. Not going to knock you down, but got a lot of strength, a lot of flavor. Fantastic. Low on the foot of the cigar. Perfect, even amber glow. My Davidoff Florida Selection 2018 is lit. I am ready to wash it down with something tasty.
Scotch, bourbon, and beer. Commence thirst-quenching libationary maneuvers.
Well, as you know, I love Katz's pastrami, Katz's corned beef, and Colonel Ange took the very secret recipe that we found that my grandma Ida was hiding for years. Nobody knew the recipe. We're cleaning out some things. My mother and sister find it. We give it to Colonel Ange. He ends up recreating Grandma Ida's pastrami to the T. Now, why am I talking about pastrami when I'm going to be sipping beer? Ah, you shall see, grasshoppers. From Schmaltz Brewing Company, in honor of National Pastrami Day, last January, I believe January 14th, it's always on a Sunday, so January 14th, National Pastrami Day, they created a very unique beer called the Schmaltz Brewing Pastrami Pilsner. And right on the band, right on the label, right on the packaging, it says, brewed with kosher salt, cracked black pepper, pastrami spice, ground caraway seed, natural horseradish flavor, and spices in addition to mustard seed. Now think about this. When you taste that pastrami, whether it's Grandma Ida's or Katz's, do yourself a favor. Don't get any pastrami that you get in the supermarket. That's not pastrami. But when you get the real deal and it's steamed and it's just melting in your mouth and it's warm and the juices and the flavor of all the ingredients come together, and then you put it on a piece of rye bread or a couple of pieces of rye bread with caraway seeds. Don't give me any of the seedless rye. With the seeds, it just tastes that taste in your mouth, a little mustard. Life is good. Well, this is a very unique beer. It is a Pilsner beer, 5.5% alcohol by volume. They never attempted making a pastrami-inspired beer before. And when they Schmaltz did it, they did it right. It is fabulous. Let me just pour a little bit here, because I've already opened it up. I'm going to pour a little bit in here, and then I'm going to tell you about the rest, a little history about this particular beer. I will say cheers. Wow, this is stacked with flavor. You know, I'll tell you what I'm getting. I'm getting some nice, light, toasted notes. You can taste a little bit of that caraway seed, so you get that rye. Get a little of that saltiness, that pepper and mustard, so you get that pastrami. And by the way, I should say that no pastramis were harmed in the making of Schmaltz Brewing's Pastrami Pilsner. There's actually, it is vegan. There is no pastrami in here, but they tried to take a lot of the ingredients and make it. And I've got to tell you, it is delicious. Got that nice pastrami, smoky flavor, little blast of horseradish on the nose. Let me take another sip. You know, it's clean beer. It's a very clean beer. Has a nice, fluffy, white head. Nice feel in the mouth. Very drinkable. Little bit of heat. Little bit of spiciness from that horseradish. And you get those nice caraway nuts. I'm telling you, this is fantastic. It was launched, I think, on a limited basis. Came in packs of four. I happened to see it down here. And as soon as I saw the name, Pastrami Pilsner, I didn't care what was in it. I'm taking it. And I made the right decision. And it sounds like they're going to come out with this on a regular basis. Now, initially it was limited, but it sounds like they're going to keep this on a regular production cycle. So the Schmaltz Brewing Pastrami Pilsner is my Cigar Oktoberfest beer of choice. Pairs beautifully with my Davidoff Florida Selection 2018. Real quickly, a big special thank you to one of our great Western New York lieutenants and alphas listening on 930 WBEN, my hometown, Paul McGivern. Made a wonderful pen, a very cool pen. I'll take pictures. We'll share this. It combines two shells, munition shells, a .30-06 and a .308, and he created and made this pen. And his niece gave it to me. She came back to the Cigar City of Tampa. It's a great pen, writes great, big feel. It's got, just looks like an alpha pen, I've got to tell you. This is a special occasion type of pen. And Paul, many thanks. Paul McGivern, incredible talents. My understanding is very handy, and making this pen is absolutely off the charts. I will send out pictures, because this thing is very unique. Again, taking a .30-06 casing and a .308, talk about alpha. The NRA right now, as I write with this pen, is going crazy. Well, screw them. Many thanks to Paul McGivern up in the Buffalo Western New York Theater of Operations. When we come back, the enemies of masculinity are after us again.
This month's Cigar Dave Officers Club selection is a sampler from A.J. Fernandez, featuring San Latano Requiem Maduro. This cigar's rich, chocolatey, slightly sweet, and creamy flavors are delivered through layers of thick, flavorful nuances. Get cigars like these shipped directly to you every month by joining the Cigar Dave Officers Club today. Get details at CigarDave.com.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the water in Buffalo. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold. All three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florado wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, a little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit Boulder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privé, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched by Gurkha. Cigar connoisseurs love expanding their palate taste profile horizons. The best way to do that is to join the Cigar Dave Officers Club, where every month you will get fabulous cigars shipped directly to you. For October 2018, we are featuring the A.J. Fernandez Sampler. Three magnificent cigars from A.J. Fernandez, rolling great cigars in his huge Nicaraguan factory. First, the A.J. Fernandez Bellas Artes, a beautiful, smooth, delightful, rich cigar featuring a Rojita Nicaraguan wrapper. Then we've got the A.J. Fernandez Enclave Broadleaf. It is loaded with power, no trace of harshness, but lots of spiciness. Finally, the A.J. Fernandez San Lotano Requiem Maduro, featuring a Mexican San Andrean Marron wrapper, just an amalgamation of chocolate, light sweetness, and creaminess. Join the Cigar Dave Officers Club and get cigars like the A.J. Fernandez Sampler. Go to CigarDave.com, $22.95 per month, and join now.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes.
The Cascade Theater presents an intimate performance with Five for Fighting at the historic Cascade Theater in Reading, October 23rd. John Ondrasik's one-man band burst onto the scene with his Grammy-nominated hit Superman and melted hearts with ballads like 100 Years. Five for Fighting makes a special appearance at the Cascade Theater October 23rd with a string quartet. Five for Fighting. Tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
After the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up the 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that with proper care and just a little discipline should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert like Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomfort. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
All right, second hour, Chris Fornari of Brewbound.com will join us as we talk Cigar Oktoberfest maneuvers, state of the craft beer industry trends, taking a look at what is going on. But first, you know there is an enemy, there is a evil war against masculinity, against, and not even toxic masculinity, masculinity, war against alpha males. I have stated this numerous times. Perfect example, case in point. In the October 12th edition of the Washington Post on the op-ed page, headline, "Thanks for not raping us, all you good men, but it's not enough." And this is by Victoria Bissell Brown. I don't know if she's a feminist, if she's a crackpot, whatever, but this is so outlandish, so outrageous, so over the top that I want to read this entire article with you. And after reading this, you'll see how her husband was brought into this, and I feel sorry for her husband that she has to be, that he has to be married to a really angry hag such as Victoria Bissell Brown. Sounds like a vacuum cleaner. Get out the Victoria Bissell Brown. We need to clean up the floor here. All right, here it is. "I yelled at my husband last night. Not pick up your socks yell. Not how could you ignore that red light yell. This was real yelling. This was 30 minutes of from-the-gut yelling, triggered by a small, thoughtless, dismissive, annoyed, patronizing comment. Really small. A microwave that triggered a hurricane. I blew, hard and fast, and it terrified me. I'm still terrified by what I felt and what I said. I am almost 70 years old. I'm a grandmother. Yet in that roiling moment, screaming at my husband, as if he represented every clueless male on the planet, and I, every angry woman of 2018, clearly she is angry, as you'll see, I announced that I hate all men and wish all men were dead. Let me read that one more time. While she's screaming at her husband, she announced, I hate all men, and I wish all men were dead. If one of my grandchildren yelled something that ridiculous, I'd have to stifle a laugh. My husband of 50 years did not have to stifle a laugh. He took it dead seriously. He did not defend his remark, nor did he not defend men. He sat hunched and hurt, and he listened. Right, because this angry, clearly mentally unstable wackadoodle made this her husband, feel like nothing. Basically made him feel like the beta he probably is. I continue. For a moment it occurred to me to be grateful that I'm married to a man who will listen to a woman. The winds calmed ever so slightly in that moment. And then the storm surge welled up in me as I realized the pathetic impotence of nice men's plan to rebuild the wreckage by listening to women. As my rage rushed through the streets of my mind, toppling every memory of every good thing my husband has ever done, and there are scores of memories, I said the meanest thing I've ever said to him. Don't you dare sit there and sympathetically promise to change. Don't say you will stop yourself before you blurt out some impatient, annoyed, controlling remark. No, I said, you can't change. You are unable to change. You don't have the skills. And you won't do it. You, I said, are one of the good men. You respect women. You believe in women. You like women. You don't hit women or rape women or in any way abuse women. You have applauded and funded feminism for a half century. Oy vey. You are one of the good men, and you cannot change. You can listen all you want, but that will not create one iota of change. In the centuries of feminist movements that have washed up and away, good men have not once organized their own mass movement to change themselves and their sons or to attack the mean-spirited, teasing, punching thing that passes for male culture. Not once. Bastards. Don't listen to me. Listen to each other. Talk to each other. Earn your power for once. The gender war that has broken out in this country is flooding all our houses. It's rising on the torrent of memories that every woman has. Those memories have come loose from the attic and the basement where we've stashed them. They're floating around us. There is no place left to store them out of sight. Not just memories of sexual abuse, memories of being dismissed, disdained, distrusted. Memories of having to endure put-downs at the office, catcalls in the parking lots, barked orders at dinner parties. And for some reason, the most chilling memory of all, the one Christine Blasey Ford called up and that we all recognized, the laughter.
The laughter and the tears.
Thank you, Paul Anka. The melodramatic tone of this absolutely nutcase, ultra-radical feminist Victoria Bissell Brown's op-ed piece, I believe, requires the great Master Thespian on stage!
And now, we bring you another wussified beta teaching moment from the world's greatest alpha, Master Thespian, Sir Davidus Generalis.
Oh, the woe of this poor woman, that at every turn men have been mean-spirited to her. Men have been raping her, have been teasing her, punching her. Oh, the woes of the male culture around Victoria Bissell Brown. Let me start at the beginning of this paragraph. The gender war that has broken out in this country is flooding all our houses. It's rising on the torrent of memories that every woman has. Those memories have come loose from the attic and the basement, where we have stashed them, oh, ever so securely and neatly. They are floating all around us. There is no place to store them out of sight. Not just the memories of sexual abuse. Memories of being dismissed, disdained, distrusted. Memories of having to endure put-downs at the office. Catcalls, meow, meow, in the parking lot. Barked orders, woof, woof, at a dinner party. And for some reason, the most chilling memory of all, the one Christine Blasey Ford, that mentally stable woman, that mentally stable feminist, who in her youth, I shall say, was mighty meek in her looks, called the memory that we all recognized, the laughter. The laughter of men who are bonding with each other by mocking us. When Ford testified under oath that the laughter is the sharpest memory of her high school assault, every woman within the sound of her voice could hear that laughter. Paul Anka, please, one more time, let us hear the laughter. Every woman within the sound of her voice could hear that laughter, had heard that laughter somewhere. Somehow, no man right now understands the flood, oh, the rush of water that is rushing through women's brains. Only women in the deepest denial have evacuated their minds before the flood could reach them. When good men like Senator Christopher A. Coons gave heartfelt, sincere speeches about how we must listen to women, I don't know whether to coo or laugh, or cry, or yell. How about we just hear Paul Anka one more time?
The laughter and the tears.
Think about Listen to Women as a program for change. It says to women, you will continue to suffer these abuses. Men, oh, men will continue to do disgusting things to you. The storms will keep coming. The tide will continue to rise, but now we will listen and help you rebuild. Pay attention, people. If we do not raise boys to walk humbly and care deeply, if we do not demand that men do more than just listen, we shall all drown in the flood. Oh, I can see the water rushing by me as I speak. Oh, it's like watching the Weather Channel in their illustrious illumination when they show the water rushing in a tidal surge. That's the kind of drowning I am speaking of, this great thespian. And there is no patriarchal Noah to save us. Ladies and gentlemen, as you can see by the amusing Master Thespian, this woman is an absolute nutcase. First of all, I don't care if it's in jest to tell your husband you hate men, wish all men were dead. I'm sorry. Something is mentally wrong with this woman. And clearly, women, all men don't do respect women. All men don't hit women. All men don't rape women. All men don't abuse women. This is an absolute load, clearly. Clearly, she was set off. Why? Because her little victim, Christine Blasey Ford, whose story didn't pass muster with no credible witnesses, no witnesses whatsoever, disintegrated, and she didn't like it. Because clearly, she has got a vendetta against men. This woman is a nutcase. We are going to... We are going to post this op-ed for you to see. It is unbelievable. Talk about an angry, wretched woman. In fact, I think her broomstick is double parked outside.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toya stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a Redding sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Slow down.
Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRostro. President Trump says he's interviewing five candidates for the job of U.N. ambassador.
The president hopes to select a U.N. ambassador to replace Nikki Haley very soon. After a Saturday campaign rally in Nevada, he said he's interviewing three women and two men for the post, and that he's going to pick somebody very quickly. Asked if he would prefer to have a woman in the job, he said he thinks he might prefer that, but we'll see. Earlier this month, Haley announced that she was leaving the job by the end of the year. Greg Clugston, the White House.
About 2,000 Central American migrants who crossed a river from Guatemala into Mexico have voted in a show of hands to reform their caravan and continue their march northward. Migrants in question crossed the river without registering, unlike others who were processed by Mexican immigration officials at a border bridge. At a campaign rally in Elko, Nevada this afternoon, President Trump says he'll take action if that migrant caravan approaches the U.S. border.
I will seal off the border before they come into this country, and I'll bring out our military, not our reserves. I'll bring out our military.
Meanwhile, last night in Arizona, the president stayed on the immigration theme, saying Democrats want more immigrants to flood into the country.
Let's get these people out of there. There's something wrong. They're cuckoo. The Democrats don't care that a flood of illegal immigration is going to totally bankrupt our country, because all the Democrats want is power. And don't forget, everybody that comes across the border, for the most part, they're going to vote Democrat. They're not voting Republican.
Mr. Trump back at the White House after a three-day, three-state Western campaign swing. The president also announced he'll exit a landmark arms control agreement the United States signed with the former Soviet Union back in 1987, saying Russia is violating the pact and it's preventing the U.S. from developing new weapons. News and analysis at townhall.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-607-3551. That's 800-607-3551. 800-607-3551 or go to selectquote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
A think tank report says the British government will have to spend an extra $25 billion a year on public services by the year 2022, if it's to deliver on Prime Minister Theresa May's promise to end austerity.
The Institute for Fiscal Studies says May's ambition looks incompatible with another major aspiration, to balance the books by the mid-2020s without substantial tax increases or much stronger economic growth. With the British economy being hobbled by uncertainty surrounding Brexit, Treasury Chief Philip Hammond is not expected to announce any radical changes to spending in his annual budget statement later this month. More detail is only expected next year when Hammond carries out a broader review of spending and it becomes clearer what Britain's exit from the EU on March 29th will mean economically. Jeremy House reporting.
Officials say a government computer system that interacts with the healthcare.gov was hacked this month. This is townhall.com. A California startup announced big plans to go small as it reaches into space, rocketing satellites the size of loaves of bread into orbit from Virginia.
The endeavor reflects increasing demand from companies and governments alike to monitor ships,
crops and the weather from space. Rocket Lab says it will build its launch pad at the Mid-Atlantic Regional Spaceport on the Eastern Shore. Rocket Lab, which recently built its first launch pad in New Zealand, is setting up in Virginia at a time of unprecedented growth and the use of smaller and relatively inexpensive satellites. The device circles the Earth for a few years before burning up in the atmosphere. Patrick Foss reporting.
Vice President Mike Pence stumped in Virginia with three Republican congressional candidates ahead of the midterms in about 2.5 weeks. He traveled to Richmond to rally Republican voters with Representative Dave Bratt, Ryan McAdams, and Denver Riggleman. The candidates met Pence at Richmond's International Airport. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help, our amazing volunteers have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives. For more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
We learned it the hard way. Wildland fire is effective life for us. The only real protection for your home and property is defensible space. Remove ladder fuels, brush, and trees that can take the fire right into your house. But cleaning up your landscape is a big job, and Cal North Forestry is up to the task. They are the professionals. Cal North Forestry. Give your home the best chance at survival. For a free estimate, call 209-9473. 209-9473.
Received news that Chlorina and Sludge have been captured for impersonating spring water. Let's now go to our field reporter, Olza Wett.
Once again, Bob the Drop saves the world from fake water and... Oh, here's Bob now. Bob, do you have anything to say?
Well, Chlorina and Sludge from Tapopolis are the worst. Why would you want wannabe water when you can have the best tasting water delivered right to your door? Anyone can get Mount Shasta spring water if they call us at 1-800-922-6227.
Pure and simple. Naturally, the best. Mount Shasta spring water.
Into the world of cigars, spirits, and diversions. The Cigar and Pleasure Friendly Hotlines are open. 877-DAVE-007. Now, fire up a cigar and pour yourself a cocktail. It's time for the General Cigar Dave.
Well, it is hard to believe we are two-thirds through October as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest, combining great cigars, great beer, and, of course, a healthy dose of football throughout the month of October and the entire fall season. I would love to say that it is fall-like here in the cigar city of Tampa, but we're going to set another record probably today. I think the high today is going to be 93 or 94, ridiculously warm. I am ready for fall. I've got a special fall beer that I will open up and enjoy with our very special guest as we continue talking about beer. In this hour, we will talk about the state of the beer industry. We'll look at craft beer. We'll look at different trends and tastes. What is going on? It is growing by leaps and bounds, and we will enjoy all those beer conversational maneuvers this hour on the Cigar Dave Show. And we welcome you back front and center. It is my pleasure to welcome to the Cigar Dave Show microphones Chris Fornari, the editor of BrewBound.com. Craft beer news, events, jobs, everything in the world of craft beer, a beer aficionado. Chris, it is great to have you front and center as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I want to learn more about Cigar Oktoberfest. Can you tell me about that?
Absolutely. You know, we never, as alpha males, we never need an excuse to enjoy life. And so when we think about the alpha male lifestyle, we think about cigars, we think about spirits, we think about sports, football, golf, travel, grilling, dining, great steaks. And so when Oktoberfest came around, this has got to be about 15, 17 years ago, I said, you know, wait a minute, we got to create our own little holiday here, calling it Cigar Oktoberfest, where basically we enjoy great cigars, and there's been a lot of Oktoberfest-themed cigars and blended cigars that have been introduced specifically to pair with beers over the last number of years, and we pair it with beer tasting. So we combine two of Alpha Male Lifestyle's great passions, beer and cigars, and it's a win-win. Now, if we had Cigar Grill Oktoberfest, that would really be the triple crown right there.
Yeah, that'd be the hat trick. I like it. I gotta check out a Cigar Oktoberfest here soon.
No question about it. Now, Chris, let's talk about your background, editor of brewbound.com. I've been reading it for a long time. It's a great, just a great site. But tell us about your background in beer. I know you're up in the Boston area, a lot of craft breweries, and certainly you've got Samuel Adams, and we did a big show from up there last year. But tell us about your background and how you got involved with Brewbound and the world of beer.
Yeah, for sure. So I guess I'll sort of give you the Cliff's Notes version of it. I'm originally from California and was living out there or had lived out there pretty much my entire life until I moved to Boston at the end of 2011 to take on the Brewbound gig. At the time, I was homebrewing with some friends and getting really into craft beer and had a background in journalism and writing and wanted to get more into that as opposed to, doing the salesman gig. I was selling running shoes, for a running company that is no longer in business, unfortunately, and kind of saw the writing on the wall and wanted to, make a career change. And this opportunity popped up and one thing led to another and I was, on my way to Boston, shipping up to Boston, as they say, right? So, I've been out here for almost 8 years now and just building Brewbound and, trying to grow this thing into the leading publication in the space.
So you're a California guy living in Boston. So you're not a Patriots fan. Would I be correct in assuming that?
Oh, you'd be incorrect because I went.
Have you heard you're a Patriots fan?
Well, I went to high school, the same high school as Tom Brady, so I've actually been following the Patriots for quite some time since he took over the starting gig.
We're all Bills fans here at the Cigar Day. Well, Sergeant Steve is a Bengals fan, but myself and some of our other crew were diehard Bills fans. So, but now in California, what part of California did you grow up?
So grew up in. Yeah, Northern California. Grew up in San Mateo, just outside of the city, and spent my whole life there. Went to college at Santa Clara University, stuck around Silicon Valley for a few years, and that's kind of right in that area. When I was living in that area is when I really started to develop a passion for craft beer.
Chris Renard, the editor of Brewbound.com, joins us as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest, talking about the state of the beer industry and just kind of looking at trends and tastes and what's going on. So, Chris, tell us about Brewbound. How did you? How long has that been around? And because I'll tell you, the website is fantastic. Tons and tons of information, which I enjoy. It's on one of my bookmark pages that I scour every week. So, tell us about Brewbound.
Yeah, so Brewbound is part of a larger organization called BevNet. We're a business-to-business trade company. We host business conferences around the country. We have three different websites, one for non-alcoholic beverage professionals, one for food professionals, and one for beer professionals. And we publish daily. Brewbound, I think, was launched, it had right around 2010, 2011. At the time, it was just sort of a pet project internally for a couple of guys here who were super into beer, and they didn't really have much direction or know what they wanted to do with it at the time. And our owner John kind of took the project on and said, let's expand into the beer space. And it sort of transitioned from more of a blog site into a full-fledged daily news publication. So I came on board. I think my first day was January 10th, 2011. And I think that week we had, maybe 100 or 150 people visit the site. And now we're going to have over 5 million page views this year.
Incredible. Well, it is a great site, tons of information. And when we look at the explosion of the beer industry, specifically, it's really been the craft beer movement that has really provided all the growth. And I think the testament to that is the fact that the big boys, if you can't beat them, join them. And you've seen Anheuser-Busch. We've seen all the big guys come in and start acquiring a number of these craft brewers or boutique brewers. And so it's kind of an interesting wave of what is going on right now. And there seems to be a little backlash from some of the diehard craft brewing aficionados.
Yeah, so over the last few years, I'd say, you can sort of trace back much of the merger and acquisition activity to I'd say 2000, I think it was 2011 when Goose Island was purchased by Anheuser-Busch. And that was really sort of their first acquisition. And I don't think they even really knew kind of what they were going to be doing in the craft space when they bought Goose Island out of Chicago. And their strategy didn't really develop until a few years after that. So they sort of plotted a course for a regional strategy, buying breweries in different areas of the country. In fact, in Tampa, where you are, they came really, really close to purchasing Cigar City. That deal fell through, and Cigar City ended up selling to a different craft brewery collective called Canarchy, which was formed by the founder of Oscar Blues out of Colorado, as well as a private equity firm here in the Boston area, Fireman Capital Partners. So, we've seen a lot of deals. So it's obviously Anheuser-Busch has gotten into the space pretty heavily, spent a lot of money and acquired about 10 different breweries. Miller Coors has a few breweries that they've purchased over the last couple years. Constellation has 3 breweries, Funky Buddha in your neck of the woods, that right. they've purchased. Heineken purchased Lagunitas. So, everyone sort of has their craft brewery horse, if you will, in the race. And then we've also seen a lot of transactions on the private equity side. So, really, since I got into the space, it's been sort of a flurry of M&A activity. It really picked up, 2014, 2015, 2016, slowed a little bit last year, and it's been relatively quiet this year as well, as everybody's plates are pretty much full.
Chris Ranari, editor of Brewbound.com, is our guest. Chris, it's interesting you mentioned some of the companies, Cigar City Brewing, Joey Redner, we know very well. We've done numerous shows from there. We've kind of watched as he's gone from a very small operation into a large statewide and now certainly more of a regional type of distribution. Southern Tier Brewing, who you mentioned talking about some private equity getting involved. Southern Tier now purchased, I think, another brewery in, I want to say, Charlotte, if I'm not mistaken, or somewhere, or Philadelphia maybe. And so they've now kind of gotten together. You mentioned Funky Buddha. We've had them on, and, in fact, they were involved in our Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the flight line last year. Their beers are phenomenal, and it's very interesting. So what we're seeing is these really creative entrepreneur brewmaster types and just entrepreneurs that come up with these just totally different, unique tastes and packaging ideas. The big guys come in, and the concern is always, okay, are they going to do to those companies what they normally do, whereas they buy a successful company, they buy it because it's successful, because it's got a great market niche, and then all of a sudden they say, well, we're smarter, we've got more MBAs, we're going to tweak it, and then they kind of destroy the company. There's always that that balance. Do you see some of that starting to happen?
Not so much. I think we've actually seen sort of the opposite. I think it would be kind of foolish to spend as much money as they've spent on these companies and then want to run them into the ground or, jettison them somehow. I don't think that they're buying these properties to somehow kill the category, which is, I guess, a misnomer. They're buying growth. They're buying brands that are, that consumers are gravitating towards and they want to participate in the segment. So we haven't seen that quite as much. Now, that being said, I think that they maybe misunderstood kind of where the market was going in some cases. So if you look at Constellation, for instance, they spent $1 billion buying Ballast Point out of San Diego, thinking that they'd be able to have this national craft beer brand and, kind of scale it and that consumers would, continue to love the Ballast Point brand at a national level. And really what we've seen since that transaction is the hyper-localization of craft and, the breweries that are the larger companies that purchase breweries in different pockets of the country and focus more on a regional strategy are actually faring a bit better.
Yeah, you're interesting talking about the local type of craft brewers. I'm very close to the John Russo Sr. Jr. of Hamburg Brewing up in the Buffalo area, and they're you know, market really primarily is Western New York and you know, Rochester, Buffalo, going down almost Erie, Pennsylvania, and they've created some great beers, and they've got a great great niche. And really what they do in that area is so unique that they get people coming all the way from across the country to visit their tap room, and that's another phenomenon that we're seeing. A lot of these craft brewers create these tap rooms, and there is a large contingent of beer connoisseurs that on weekends travel all over the country to check out their tap rooms and go to these breweries and sample beers from all over the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, an interesting stat that I'd like to point out is that if you look at some of the from last year, the 50 fastest growing breweries in 2017 were significantly smaller than, you know, some of the brands that we've already talked about today and, you know, many of the brands that anybody would recognize. So I believe the average annual production for the 50 fastest growing breweries last year was under 1,000 barrels. It was 963 barrels of beer. And the vast majority of the nearly 7,000 breweries that are operating in the U.S. now produce, you know, just a small amount of beer, and a lot of them are focused on selling it directly through their tap rooms where it's most profitable for them. So, you know, we hear a lot about, you know, you talk about the state of the industry and where things are headed and, geez, there's so many breweries and I don't know all these brands and where did all these companies come from. It's important to remember that, you know, 75% of the beer that's being sold or 75% of the breweries that are out there are really pretty small. You know, only making, you know, approximately like 1,000 barrels of beer annually.
Gotcha. Chris Fornari, the editor of Brewbound.com, our guest this hour as we talk the state of the craft beer industry as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest maneuvers. We will continue with Chris right around the corner.
Never miss a minute of the show when you download the Cigar Dave mobile app for Apple, Android, and Kindle devices. You can listen to our 24/7 continuous stream of the latest show or download the recent podcasts to listen to anytime on your mobile device. Get the Cigar Dave mobile app in the App Store. Search Cigar Dave.
I pride myself on putting together fantastic selections for the Cigar Dave Officers Club. I want you to be able to experience great cigars that have unique tastes from different countries, different flavor profiles. And I've got to tell you, the October 2018 selection that we have put together from A.J. Fernandez, absolutely spectacular, off the charts. A.J. Fernandez, nobody knew A.J. Fernandez 10 years ago. And now A.J. Fernandez, one of the largest cigar manufacturers, so well-renowned and well-respected not only for the tobacco that he grows but for his blending prowess, that many of the larger manufacturers, General Cigar, Altadis, they have all gone to A.J. and said, A.J., we need you to blend cigars for us. We've seen this over the last number of years of cigars being released. So when I was able to talk to the powers that be at A.J. Fernandez, to Salim Hanono, and talk to Frankie Santos and said, gents, we got to put together a phenomenal October 2018 selection. They said, General, we got just the selections. We start off with an A.J. Fernandez Bellas Artes, inspired by the Bellas Artes National Museum of Art in Cuba. This cigar is an art form in and of itself, wrapped in A.J.'s exclusive Rojita Nicaraguan wrapper. Smooth, delightful notes of cinnamon and cedar. Then we put in the A.J. Fernandez Enclave Broadleaf. If you like a full-bodied, full-flavored cigar, you will love the Enclave Broadleaf, combination of a Connecticut Broadleaf wrapper, Nicaraguan fillers, a lot of spiciness, a lot of power, but no harshness. And finally, the A.J. Fernandez San Latano Requiem Maduro, named after A.J.'s birthplace in Cuba, the San Latano Requiem Maduro, a very luxurious, rich cigar with one of my favorite wrappers, an oily Mexican San Andreas Morón wrapper. The cigar is an amalgamation of chocolate, light sweetness, creaminess. Great cigars from A.J. Fernandez, the October 2018 Officers Club selection.
the foremost authority on cigars, spirits, diversions, and the good life. The General, Cigar Dave.
Well, last week I wore the lederhosen, and I only break those out for Cigar Oktoberfest one time because they're not the most comfortable clothing items and articles to wear. So we got rid of that, but nonetheless, we're still in the Oktoberfest spirit, even though it's officially ended in Munich. And again, if it ends pretty much towards the end of September, my answer is, why don't they just call it Septemberfest? But we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest here. My pleasure. Welcome back. Front and center, Chris Fornari, the editor of Brewbound.com, as we look at the state of the craft brew industry. Chris, what trends are you seeing right now? Are we going to see more mergers? Are we going to see a shakeout? Are we going to see, I know that there's been some bankruptcies in some of these craft breweries. We're going to start, is it saturated right now?
I would say that there are definitely regions of the country that are pretty saturated. If you look at markets that are well established for craft beer, the opportunity to launch a new craft brewery in those areas is pretty small, just because if you look at total market share, say in, you know, Portland, Oregon, or San Diego, or, you know, real hotbeds for craft beer, you're kind of butting up against what most people think is, you know, the sort of peak market share for a high-end product like craft. I've heard, you know, numerous theories about how big the segment can get in terms of, you know, how many people are actually buying craft beer. And the Brewers Association at one point wanted to see national craft beer sales be 20% of or national craft beer sales be 20% of total beer sales. And they're not going to get there based on how their definition works because so many breweries have sold like we talked about. But yeah, I'd say that there are some markets that, you know, they're kind of hit their peak. That being said, there's still plenty of opportunities out there for breweries to open, you know, taproom focused operations, sell directly to consumer, and create a nice little niche for themselves. They're probably not going to get rich or, you know, sell their companies for millions of dollars. And they might not even be able to, you know, send their kids to private schools in that model. You know, if that's their passion and that's what they want to do and they're okay and comfortable being small, I think those opportunities exist. That being said, we are seeing a number of brewery closures, and that number is increasing. I think there were about 165 brewery closures last year, and you know, all signs point to about, you know, as many as 300 closures in 2018 is kind of where we think the number could climb to. At the same time, we'll probably see about 1,000 breweries open, and about 1,000 breweries opened last year. So if you look at that sort of ratio of closings to openings, the gap is shrinking, and at some point, those lines are probably going to meet because we cannot add 1,000 breweries to the segment every single year. It's just not sustainable. I think craft growth has slowed. Breweries are finding it more difficult to compete. Some people are giving up entirely because this isn't, you know, what they thought it would be. Some people took on too much debt to grow, and that's why they're going out of business. So I think we're probably in the beginning stages of what people would describe as a shakeout right now.
All right, Chris Fornari, the editor of Brewbound.com, our guest as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest, talking about the state of the craft beer industry. When we come back, we'll start looking at some craft breweries of note, maybe some beers you should be on the lookout for as we enjoy fantastic craft beer on a Cigar Oktoberfest show.
The Cigar Dave Officers Club selection this month is an A.J. Fernandez sampler, including the Bellas Artes Toro. This Spanish box press beauty is decadent in flavor and aroma and will spoil your palate with notes of cream, white pepper, cinnamon, and orange peel. Want these cigars shipped directly to you each month? Log on to CigarDave.com to join the Officers Club.
Gurkha has just launched three new cigars at the Cigar Dave Alpha Pleasure Fest on the water in Buffalo, the Gurkha Chateau Privé, The Gurkha Marquesa and Gurkha Ghost Gold, all three unique flavor profiles. The Gurkha Chateau Privet, more traditional, mild, and creamy cigar, typically found in many of the high-end Dominican cigars. Exquisite flavor, very velvety on the palate, featuring an Ecuadorian De Florado wrapper. The Gurkha Marquesa, very Cubanesque all the way around from flavor and packaging. With an earthy Sumatra wrapper, Gurkha Marquesa is a bold, well-balanced, medium-bodied, and spicy cigar. The Gurkha Ghost Gold, a little different than the regular Gurkha Ghost, more flavor, a little bit bolder, featuring an Ecuadorian Habano wrapper. Instead of a sweet flavor on the Gurkha Ghost, it's a more nutty and earthy profile. The Gurkha Chateau Privet, the Gurkha Marquesa, and Gurkha Ghost Gold, three new cigars just launched by...
Monday Night Football is back, baby. Raiders, Niners, Seahawks, Cowboys, Vikings, where you at? Bet the Bookie returns again this year with Kenny Breedlove. Win cash and prizes every Monday night. Monday Night Football kicks off this year with a doubleheader on September 10th. The Jets versus the Lions, and the Rams take on the Raiders. Come get your football fix at Shameless O'Leary's. The best wing, burgers, and Irish nachos in town, plus over 16 brews on tap and over 100 unique whiskeys behind the bar. Wear your favorite team jersey and come play Bet the Bookie every Monday night. It's free to play and an absolute blast for couples or serious football fans. Place your bet and win. Don't forget Sunday Funday with the NFL ticket and Sunday brunch. Bloodies, mimosas, and a full breakfast menu. If you want to watch football, make it Shameless O'Leary's, California Street, downtown Reading.
Football, you say? Well, I've got $100 here. Says football's supposed to be played with your feet.
Every Monday from 6 to 8 p.m., join us at Radio Wasteland, your local guide to the unexplained and the unknown. Each week, we cover all things unexplained, from the moving stars in the sky to the things that go bump in the night. Visit us as we explore these topics and more as our in-studio team digs deeper with featured guests and listener call-ins. Mondays are rough, but now your overworked brain has a chance for some sweet relief with Radio Wasteland.
Radio Wasteland, Mondays at 6 on KCNR.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts, with two full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo, 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Locally owned KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio, is also home to local programming and local sports. Mondays at 6 p.m., Radio Wasteland explores the mysteries all around us with a team of researchers who dig deep into the unseen world. Thursdays at 6, it's Chris and Jen Gomez keeping you up on pop culture and entertainment with We're a Little Behind, KCNR, where you also get local high school football, basketball, and, of course, baseball with the Reading Colt 45s. KCNR 1460.
Defending your rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of pleasure. It's the General Cigar Dave.
And the pursuit of great beer as we enjoy Cigar Oktoberfest maneuvers. Chris Fornari, the editor of Brewbound.com, joins us. Hey, Chris, before we move in to a couple other topics I want to get to as we look at the state of the craft beer industry, you know, we're talking about the number of maybe closures, the number of openings and tap rooms. I just saw where I'm originally from, Buffalo, and we've got a great affiliate up there, 930 WBEN. Just saw up in the Buffalo News, here's the headline from 2 days ago. New craft breweries have opened in Western New York with lots more planned in coming months. They're looking at 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, about 8 to 10 new tap rooms and some microbreweries. And in fact, what's interesting is there's got a Hofbrauhaus that they've been working on trying to open for the last, I think, I don't know, 3, 4 years, and getting investors. And Labatt's Brewing, actually, which is based in Buffalo, they're opening their own Labatt Brewhouse. So it's kind of interesting to see how in pockets of the country, the enthusiasm for beer and brew houses and tap rooms is still growing.
Yeah, you know, I think it's looking more and more kind of like a restaurant business.
Right.
You know, if you think about just the way that these breweries are financed and, you know, the way that lenders operate too, you know, they're lending a significant amount of money to actually build out. So they're spending on construction to build out these facilities and to build out these tap rooms and then, you know, make them look beautiful. And that's not money that a bank is ever getting back. So it is very similar to the restaurant business, right? There's not a whole lot of assets that they're actually financing other than the equipment. So in my opinion, any of these operations that start up, I think that they should be trying to do it as lean as possible, take on as little debt as possible, and open as quickly as possible and start selling beer directly to consumers at the highest margin possible so that they can service that debt and get, you know, quickly get to profitability.
Right. And you know, what's interesting is when you look at some of the, I'm looking at some pictures of some of these places. They have a picture of Community Beer Works up in Buffalo that opened this past summer. And again, nice interior, not overly crazy. But that seems to be now the place where people, you know, want to congregate and hang out. Not necessarily a club where there's banging music and it's just loud and you know, crazy lights. It seems there's been a shift. It's almost like the speakeasies of yesteryear, and this is what you see now. It's more of a social atmosphere, and I think you hit it right on the head that if you can open up, not go crazy, you don't have to be the biggest, you don't have to be the best, you don't have to have a $3 million build-out. In fact, a lot of the successful ones are the ones that are very cozy and quaint. They just make good beer, and people will go regardless of, you know, whether it's a $300,000 build-out or a $3 million build-out.
Yeah, exactly. I think the bigger question, though, for me at least, is, you know, how sustainable that model is. You know, if you have two breweries on a city block and then two more open, you know, you haven't created any new customers. Now there's just four companies competing for the same customers that were walking down that street, right? So it, on one hand, yes, they're bringing a lot of excitement and enthusiasm to the category. But on the other hand, you know, does the industry risk kind of turning its back on traditional bars and restaurants? And if so, you know, what's the ramification of that, you know, 5, 10, 15 years down the road?
Well, we've seen a number of restaurants that have actually gone and within the restaurant creating a small, you know, almost micro brewery just to create some of their own beer and kind of as an attraction. And we've seen that number of restaurants here in the Cigar City of Tampa. But I'm seeing that more and more where restaurants are looking, saying, you know what, we want to get in on this action. We don't want to go crazy, but there's still kind of a unique market to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think, you know, we talked about the openings and closings. More breweries are going to continue to open for sure. I mean, we're seeing, you know, I think what, like two and a half breweries opening per day is the clip. And that will probably continue into next year. I don't know when exactly it'll slow down. Many people think that there could be as many as 10,000 breweries and brew pubs throughout the United States here very shortly. And most of those, again, are going to be pretty small taproom focused, like the ones that are mentioned in that article from New York. So it'll be interesting to kind of see how it all shakes out in long term, you know, how many of these businesses survive. I think, you know, the big looming question over all this is, like, can we get more consumers to drink beer at a time when beer sales are, you know, overall relatively flat? Because, You know, if you think about it just like a bar, you can stick more taps in the wall, but that doesn't mean you're going to sell more beer. You still have to get more consumers in your door, right? So the same kind of rule or theory applies to the broader industry. Yeah, you can have 10,000 breweries, but if you're not creating new consumers, then, you know, who's drinking all the beer?
Chris Fornari of Brewbound.com joins us today as we celebrate Cigar Oktoberfest. Chris, let's take a look at some of the breweries that are really starting to expand, that have been successful in their own markets, that maybe our connoisseurs, our alphas that are listening should be on the lookout for. I know, for example, Brooklyn Brewery started in Brooklyn. They've now grown to, I think, what, 29 or 30 states across the country. But give us some names of breweries that are really starting to grow that we may be able to find their products that we haven't been able to the last number of years.
Yeah, for sure. There are a few that come to mind. You know, if you think about now, the trend is obviously more local, right? So a lot of these companies that are growing tend to have tighter distribution footprints. So access to their beers for a lot of your listeners might be a bit of a challenge. But, you know, some of the names that come to mind in terms of, you know, really successful, quickly emerging companies would be like a Rheingeist Brewery out of Cincinnati, Melvin Brewing out of Wyoming. There's a company in our backyard that's expanded quite rapidly, Lord Hobo Brewing, and their beers are actually available down there in Florida and out on the West Coast, so they've taken a slightly different approach. You look at a company like Three Weavers, which was acquired. They're out of L.A. They were acquired by the Canarchy Craft Brewery Collective that Cigar City is a part of, and as well as Deep Ellum. They were acquired by Canarchy as well. So those are all really fast-growing breweries that make, you know, really good beer. And I would say that, you know, they're probably more accessible than some of the smaller ones if you're looking for some newer companies to experience.
You know, one of the issues for any consumer products company is always shelf space, and beer is no different. I know that many of the supermarkets across the country have really increased their shelf space for beer, specifically craft beer. Many of the beer and wine stores across the country have now put in different taps where you can fill a growler, and, you know, they rotate those. But shelf space is always an issue, and, you know, I think there's just so many brands out there that it's difficult for the supermarkets, for the retailers, to be able to say, okay, we want to carry everything, but we can't. And so that's always kind of a juggling and balancing act, and really the retailers have to see what moves. But do the craft beer enthusiasts, do they really help? Do you see now a vocal craft beer connoisseur movement where they're influencing now what goes into the retailers?
Yeah, I mean, I think that probably already happened, right? Consumers were demanding more local beers, and they wanted, you know, better access to them at their local grocery stores and liquor stores and, you know, Total Wines and all that. And so I think that sort of period already happened. And honestly, I think a lot of retailers actually, you know, kind of went off the deep end with how much craft beer they were selling, and they allocated too much space to craft beer. And they have to be cognizant of the velocity at which those products move off the shelf, because, you know, it's push and pull, right? So you can push products into retail as much as you want, but if it's not being pulled off the shelf, then that's just kind of wasted space at the retail level. So I think retailers are starting to kind of rein some of that in, and they're starting to look at their shelves and say, all right, you know, what are the fastest moving products? What are consumers most interested in? And what's going to make me the most money? And how can I best utilize the space that I have? And in some cases, that's going to mean that a beer that was on the shelf before isn't on the shelf now because it just wasn't getting pulled.
So when you take a look today at the trends in terms of taste, what are you seeing? I think at one point, you know, there was a trend to go very, very full. Hoppy IPAs. Seems that we're starting to see a shift back to maybe more moderate tastes.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the pendulum is definitely swinging back towards sessionability. We're seeing a lot of craft brewers, small craft brewers, get into the sort of light lager or sessionable lager space. If you look at the Great American Beer Festival award winners list this year, there were no large brands, no mainstream brands that won in either the light lager or the lager category. They all came from small craft brewers. So I think from a quality standpoint, the smaller companies are able to prove that, you know, their beers can stack up just as well next to, you know, a Budweiser or a Bud Light in terms of, you know, how well it's made. And for years, you've heard those companies say, well, you know, we make the best sort of lagers in the world in terms of just, you know, technically speaking, they are really high quality beers. You might not prefer the taste of those beers, but, you know, technically speaking, they are really sound. And now you're seeing a lot of small brewers start to flex their brewing muscles and produce those products. So there is a move towards sessionability. The concern there is that, you know, are we moving into a space where the beers are more commodity than anything else? If you're a small craft brewer making, you know, 15, 20, 25,000 barrels a year and you're producing a light lager and you're trying to sell, you know, 12 packs and compete on price with, you know, mega corporations that sell, you know, 50, 60, 100 million barrels of beer a year, that's a really tough spot to play in at the retail level. And ultimately, the consumer is going to decide, you know, do I want to buy this light beer from my local craft brewer for, I don't know, $15, $16 a 12-pack, or does Miller Lite?
Analog living in a digital world. Every week on Boomer Tech Radio, we offer up the latest tech news you could use. Hi, it's Bob Belongi. It's even easier to listen to the show now that we're on iTunes. You'll find our archives and articles at BoomerTechRadio.com, and the show is streamed live at KCNR1460.com. We review the latest goodies, gadgets, and gizmos, and make sure you are up to date on the latest tech trends. Boomer Tech Radio, Saturday from noon to 2 p.m. on KCNR 1460, and now available as a podcast on iTunes.
This is Carl Vaught, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Mark Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, that estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Ready to make more money, break more ground, and achieve more of your life's goals? With free tuition at Shasta College, now is your chance to get more out of life. We all know that education is the key to a bigger paycheck and a brighter future, and Shasta College is committed to providing the best in affordable, accessible higher education that opens more doors. Whether you're looking to transfer to a bachelor's degree program, complete a professional degree, or secure a certification in a high-demand field, there's never been a better time to start demanding more. Shasta College grads are building more businesses, saving more lives, and attending more four-year universities, and with more programs and classes to choose from, what more could you ask for? Well, since you asked, if you're a first-time, full-time student, the Shasta Promise Program will cover your entire tuition for the first year. That's right, your Shasta College tuition is free. A new semester starts soon. Enroll now before the class time you want is gone. Start getting more out of your future today. Visit ShastaCollege.edu/apply or call 530-242-7500 to enroll now. Shasta College, more possibilities.
Available for War Pigs USA, or if you want to be the head brewer at Tradition Brewing Company. You guys pretty much have it all there, Chris. But when we look at today, when you see beers that are being introduced, what is required in your estimation in order to be successful, in order to be able to be a viable product, a viable brewery? What are the essentials? First, I would say capital's got to be one of them. Because if you don't have the capital to compete today, I think you're going to be out of luck. The old days where you could just make a great beer and people will find it are over. But What are the, in your estimation, what are the key ingredients for a new craft beer entrant to succeed?
Yeah, I mean, I think an incredible brand, first and foremost, is something that is becoming increasingly important. Certainly, you know, making a really high quality, uniquely well differentiated product is important as well. But at this point, I think that's sort of table stakes. You know, the fact that you make a really high quality beer isn't going to set you apart any longer. So then you start figuring out, well, what does? And I think ultimately it's going to come back to brands and brands that consumers identify with. So, you know, are you a brewery that has, you know, an older looking label that you might have picked up in the 90s, or are you, you know, are you paying attention to some of the design elements that other companies, be it in the tech industry or the wine industry or the auto industry, whatever it is, are you paying attention to those visual cues that consumers are gravitating towards and incorporating them into the look and feel of your brand? I think that's one thing that is critically important now. Obviously, capital. If you're going to go big and you're going to try to scale quickly or try to sell your beer in multiple markets, it's really, really costly. You have to put feet on the street. You have to, you have to support the brands with marketing and digital ads. And, you know, I think just the amount of money that you're going to need to spend to sell your beer has increased. So if you plan on taking that approach, you better be well capitalized. You know, I think thirdly, you should have a really strong tap room, and you should be, you know, in an area where there's some foot traffic, or at least be in an area where people can easily access you. I think that because there are so many breweries out there now, and because so many more breweries have opened up either satellite tap rooms or places to experience the brand in, you know, within a city, the days of sort of being in an industrial park, you know, 30 miles outside of a major hub and, you know, expecting that people will travel there every single day or every single weekend, I think that's, you know, those days are sort of fleeting as well, unless you have something really, really special, you know, that they can't get anywhere right. else. So I think those would be the things that I would look at.
All right, we will wrap it up, our final concluding segment, with Chris Fornari of Brewbound.com. When we get back, we'll give some of Chris's recommendations for some beers that he recommends you to sample. Final concluding segment of this edition of the Cigar Dave Show is next.
Check out the all-new CigarDave.com. Get info on the cigars and libations the General enjoys during the show. Get recipes from the Pooch Pit and drink cocktails, too. You can listen to the show on our 24/7 stream, or download the latest podcast to listen to anytime. Get it all at CigarDave.com.
In 1964, José O. Padrón began rolling cigars bearing his name in modest surroundings with one guiding principle: always focus on quality, never on quantity. Nearly 40 years later, Padrón cigars are recognized for their superior taste and majestic construction. The result of Padrón controlling all aspects of the cigar-making process, including planting their own seeds, growing and curing their own tobacco, and constantly supervising the rolling room. To Wall Street, it is called vertical integration. To the Padrón family, it's called making great cigars. The Padrón lines include the Padrón 1964 Anniversary Series and the Padrón Traditional line. All Padrón cigars are wrapped in Nicaraguan sun-grown Habano tobacco, available in natural or maduro. Experience Padrón. For your Padrón retailer, call 1-800-453-5635. When Padrón is on the band, quality is a matter of family honor.
Surgeon General warning: tobacco use increases the risk of infertility, stillbirth, and low birth weight.
America is under attack. Basic freedoms, privileges, and acts that we would normally take for granted are disappearing each day, including the simple ability to enjoy a cigar. This is Glenn Loop, Executive Director of Cigar Rights of America, CRA. At a time when elected officials should be thinking about education, public safety, and creating jobs, they are actually thinking about smoking bans, new taxes, and regulations of historic proportions on premium cigars. The cigars that provide us with pleasure, relaxation, and fellowship are under attack. We have to stop it. That's why Cigar Rights of America was created, to work for a new political day for cigar enthusiasts across America, to roll back restrictive laws and defeat onerous taxes and regulations that impact everyone, from your local cigar shop to your personal humidor. For the price of a few great cigars, be a part of this effort to protect your right to enjoy a cigar without excessive taxation and cumbersome legislation. Go to CigarRights.org. Let's tell the government we've had enough. Join now, CigarRights.org.
Hold it right there. Cigar Dave is back in 2 minutes. The General resumes hosting maneuvers in 1 minute. Quiet, please. Cigar Dave returns in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, I have just poured a glass of Southern Tier Pumpkin Imperial Ale. This really was one of the big breakout beers for Southern Tier. It's a fantastic beer, very smooth, a lot of flavor. Got that little pumpkin going on with it. Very, very pleasant. And we're rejoined by Chris Fornari, editor of Brewbound.com, final segment. All right, Chris, I gave you the beer that I'm enjoying right now. Give us a couple of your favorites and some recommendations for our alphas and connoisseurs to go out and try.
For sure. I've been drinking a lot of pretty much just Pilsners, lagers, and IPAs, so both ends of the spectrum. One of my favorite beers here in the New England area is the Von Trapp Pilsner out of Vermont. So for any listeners in the New England area, definitely seek that one out. I got to give a shout-out to my boys at Castle Island Brewing here in the Boston area. They got a silver medal for their American lager at the 2018 Great American Beer Fest. Amazing beer. I've been drinking a lot of those during Sox games. And then really always enjoy Lawson's Sip of Sunshine. So those are probably like my three that I drink the most of.
And give us one more. Give us one more recommendation real quick.
Oh, geez, one more. I'll give you Deep Ellum out of Texas. I was able to drink their lager at the Great American Beer Fest.
All right,
really,
so we got
that.
Some Northeast, we got some Texas, and we will link all these at CigarDave.com and social media. Chris Fornari, editor of Brewbound.com, many thanks for joining us. Cigar Dave, the General, saying, Mayor Humidor always be full. Mayor Cutter always be sharp. Mayor Ashby, extra, extra long. Semper Delectatio, always pleasure. Long live the Alpha. Make America great again. Make masculinity great again. Screw the enemies of pleasure. Cheers. Enjoy Cigar Oktoberfest.
You know, this time of year in Shasta County, the need to heat your home is probably the last thing on your mind, right? Well, my friend SSD Oil says this is the ideal time to trade in your old monitor heater on a spanking new Toyotomi and save yourself up to $250. Your qualifying model monitor heater earns you a huge allowance on a Toyo stove that will keep you warm and cozy all winter long. This deal is as hot as a running sidewalk in summer. SSD Oil, 241-1167, 241-1167.
Joe's Web Geeks are the geeks your business has been looking for. Now businesses in Shasta County have a resource to make online advertising easy. With our Jumpstart service, you can get a website with pages built to be found in search, a Facebook page, listings, and over 25 directories and a lot more for $8.99. Let Joe's Web Geeks help you so that you can get back to doing what you do best. Visit joeswebgeeks.com or call 515-9851.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. President Trump campaigned in Elko, Nevada Saturday afternoon for incumbent Senator Dean Heller ahead of midterms in just over 2 weeks. President telling the crowd Democrats' hopes for sweeping on Election Day will be shattered.
How do they win an election? Do we really have an election here? No, think of it. They want to take away your Second Amendment. They want to raise your taxes. They want to open your borders, let people in illegally. And then they want to pay for those people for health care, for education.
President returned to the White House this Saturday evening after 3 days and three-state sweep in the West. A Georgia police officer was killed Saturday afternoon after being shot while responding to a suspicious vehicle parked near a middle school in Snellville, about 25 miles northeast of Atlanta. Multiple law enforcement agencies are searching for suspects. As thousands of migrants continue their trek northward, President Trump reiterates his promise to send troops if those that are trying to get from Guatemala through Mexico cross into the U.S.
Whenever a small gate opens to receive the Honduran migrants at this processing center on the Mexico-Guatemala border, there's a desperate crush of bodies that push forward in the heat. Some have even fainted. Mexico is giving out a small number of visitor visas, which in theory could allow some migrants to get to the U.S. border, something President Trump says he's ready to guard against.
I will seal off the border before they come into this country, and I'll bring out our military, not our reserves. I'll bring out our military.
Some migrants say they're fleeing gang violence. Others say they're in search of work. I'm Julie Walker.
An estimated 500,000 people took to the streets of London Saturday calling for a second Brexit referendum. Among the marchers was Mayor Sadiq Khan, who called the event a march for the future for young Britons, including those who were too young to vote back in 2016. News and analysis at townhall.com.
G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pest Free. I want to personally thank all my Plug-In Pest Free customers who have taken the time out to call, write, and who have left messages to thank me for ridding their homes and businesses of unwanted rodent and pest problems. So from me to you, I thank you. Plug-In Pest Free is the only scientifically tested and, more importantly, consumer-proven electromagnetic pest management system since 1995. Why put up with those annoying rodents and pests any longer? Plug-In Pest Free is 100% chemical-free, making it your safest bet to manage your rodent and pest problems around your family and pets. With a 60-day money-back guarantee, you have nothing to lose. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code SAVE20 for 20% off and free shipping. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com today.
Aspirin may not prevent heart attacks and strokes in people at low risk, but it may be helpful in cancer prevention.
Although low-dose aspirin may not be useful for preventing heart attack and stroke in seniors without other risks, it is associated with a 23% decreased risk of ovarian cancer, and regular-strength aspirin is associated with a 59% decreased risk of liver cancer and a 33% decreased risk of colorectal cancer. Aspirin use also prolongs survival if ovarian cancer has developed. This is Charles Snyderman in Washington.
Apex Clean Energy is moving forward with a plan for a new 36-turbine wind farm called Dakota Range Wind 3 in northeastern South Dakota. The proposed wind farm would be the Virginia-based company's third 150-megawatt project in the area. The company says the $380 million Dakota Range 1 and 2 projects are underway and will start producing energy in 2021. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A 12-pound chunk of the moon that fell to the Earth as a lunar meteorite has been sold at auction for more than $600,000.
Boston-based RR Auction announced the $612,500 winning bid for the meteorite, composed of six fragments that fit together like a puzzle, came from a representative working with the Tam Chuk Pagoda Complex in Vietnam. RR predicted it would get $500,000 at the auction. The meteorite was found last year in a remote area of Mauritania in northwest Africa. It's considered one of the most significant lunar meteorites ever found because of its large size. Patrick Frost reporting.
Outdoor clothing giant Patagonia jumping into the competitive Senate races, endorsing Democrats John Tester of Montana and Jackie Rosen of Nevada in what the company calls its first foray into elective politics. The company describes Tester and Rosen as champions of public lands and the outdoor industry. More on these stories at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
I'm here with Mike of Estate Granite and Things. Hey, Mike, so I got to ask, what's with the and things?
And things is anything that we can make with granite and metal.
So you're saying it's going to last?
It's forever furniture.
Wow, did you come up with that one?
Absolutely. The and things are dining room tables, wine bistros, fire pit patio tables, and our ever-popular granite-lined roasters. Really, anything you can imagine inside or out.
You know, that store-bought stuff has to be replaced every few years. You know, it gets hot up here.
That's why we call it Forever Furniture. You can will it to your children.
Mike, with Estate Granite and Things, our builder of choice, thinking completely out of the box.
The first time I walked into my new kitchen, I was amazed. But after, I started to notice all the little things that make my kitchen unique. From the tile backsplash to the seams in the granite, everything was truly a work of art.
Hi, this is Mike from Estate Granite and Things. I know how important quality to a homeowner is, so give me a call at 241-STONE or come by our showroom at 4900 Mountain Lakes Boulevard. Estate Granite and Things, completely out of the box. Or visit us at estategranite.com.
From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, giving you opinions and facts with a positive approach, it's Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, everybody. Brian Kilmeade here. Welcome to the Tuesday edition of the Brian Kilmeade Show. Back-to-back senators. Ben Sasse coming up shortly. Lindsey Graham right here. Doris Kearns Goodwin also will follow that. Besides that, we really don't have much intellectual firepower, so please be patient. And then, of course, the best of all, we open up some phone calls, 1-866-408-7669. Big three.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three. Number three.
There's some new documents out tonight. The FBI released them on their public information site, The Vault, and they reveal for the first time that there was an investigation of comments allegedly made by the deputy director, Andrew McCabe, about President Trump and Flynn. We don't know anything more than that.
He's in trouble. McCabe's a problem. The Russia reversal. More evidence that this probe has corruption and FBI written all over it as we watch Glenn Simpson today take the fifth. He's head of GPS, Fusion GPS.
Number two.
What do the facts say?
The facts suggest that you absolutely have a Native American ancestor in your pedigree.
Some people have questioned my heritage and my family history. Maybe they do it to insult me. Maybe they do it to distract from the kinds of changes I'm fighting for.
Well, maybe they just don't like the background music. What was she thinking? Senator Elizabeth Warren decides Monday was the day to reveal her Indian ancestry, but it's microcosmic to the point where it's laughable. Trump has gotten in her head.
Number one.
If the Crown Prince authorized the interrogation and potential snatch, you then look at who are these people who are on this 15-man team, one of whom are alleged to have been a forensics autopsy expert, and that's a problem. What was he doing there if all you had authorized was an interrogation and a snatch?
Fran Townsend, the Saudis' soulless search right now might have them toying with actually telling the truth about the murder of an American resident who has American kids, Jamal Khashoggi. And that's where we'll begin with Senator Lindsey Graham. Senator, you've been a defender of the Saudis. You said they're the counterweight to Iran, and we know what Iran's been up to for the last since 1979. But now what do you think? from what you know and what you can tell us?
Well, this is not rogue killers. This is a rogue crown prince. He's got a 2030 vision. It includes women having more say about their lives in Saudi Arabia, more integration into the economy by women. That's all great. Then there's the side to the guy who throws his family members in the Ritz-Carlton and treats them pretty poorly, throws people in jail who criticizes him just slightly, and now, if it is true, and I believe it is, sent a team of assassins to kill a Washington Post columnist who has three American children, an American resident, and the Saudi consulate in Istanbul. That is game over for me with MBS.
So here, and that is the Crown Prince's initials, who's tight with Jared Kushner, who the president, who the president is also tight with the royal family. The president spoke to the king yesterday, but the king wouldn't be somebody pulling the trigger on something
like
this.
No, the king is a revered figure, but the MBS is pulling the levers there. He's really cracked down on dissidents in the country. He says one thing, he does another. He's put President Trump and myself in a bad spot.
Here is Michael Hayden, former CIA director, Cut 12.
I'll accept what King Salman said at face value. He didn't know. And I frankly wouldn't expect him to know, given the dynamics of how the kingdom is governed right now. But it is very hard for me to believe that the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, who is a very controlling personality, would not have known this was going on. Or put another way, I don't think anyone would have attempted this had they not had strong belief that the Crown Prince had their back.
A couple of things. I mean, can people be that tone deaf to understand America that little to really think they could pull this off?
Well, so this guy is full of himself. You know, he's getting all this praise, including from me. You know, I've been on the floor defending their actions in Yemen. I've been on the floor saying they've been a good ally when it comes to the war on terror. They've not been perfect by any means. I've been trying to beat back this effort to sever our relationship with Saudi Arabia. So what does this mean? For this MBS to put us in this spot shows contempt for us and our relationship. Nobody has done more for Saudi Arabia than President Trump. Nobody has been there on their side more than I have in the Senate, except maybe Senator McCain. And this is the way you get repaid?
So you are called. So they're going to come back. Pompeo's going over there right now. He's going to come back, and they say the Saudis are basically going to admit that they did it. It was an interrogation gone wrong. So if that is indeed the case, and the president said, listen, I don't want to hurt Raytheon, Boeing, and my other major companies who had these weapon sales. Why should I hurt American industry because these guys can't behave themselves? What do you say?
Well, sometimes you have to pay a price for your values. I'm a pretty defense-hawkish kind of guy.
On Armed Services Committee?
Yeah, absolutely. I want Saudi Arabia to be on our side. There's Saudi Arabia, then there's the Crown Prince. They're two different things. So how do you expect us to – his children came to my office, Mr. Khashoggi's kids. He has three American citizen children. They came to my office, and I said, we'll help. They got one son in Saudi Arabia that I'm worried about. How do I engage Saudi Arabia when MBS, the de facto leader of the country, is this brazen, this disrespectful for the international norms that we fight for? He is toxic. There's no way we can move forward. I would suspend arms sales as long as he's in charge.
Senator, let's back up a second. You know that he created a lot of enemies when he made some of the changes. He locked up half the royal family into the Ritz-Carlton and interrogated them brutally in many respects.
Yeah.
And some are still in jail or under house arrest.
Right.
So if you want to upend him, do you pull something off like this and say, now you're tagged with this responsibility? Could this be a diabolical plot that maybe John Grisham would write?
You mean setting up MBS? No, because everything about MBS seems to gravitate toward this. This is not some guy that's trying to change the country and hardliners are undercutting. He's schizophrenic. One minute he's talking about the 2030 plan for Saudi Arabia. The next minute he's personally involved in stamping out the slightest dissent. So I think he's unhinged. He's 33 years old. If this is the next 50 years, God help us all. It's an important relationship, but the values that we possess as Americans are more important than any single relationship. This is a test of President Trump. He did the right thing to send Pompeo. I just don't believe that we can ever do business with Saudi Arabia again as long as he's in charge, MBS.
Wow, that would be huge because it's a big, you know, who's high-fiving? Iran?
Yeah, well, let me tell you. Don't get so excited, Iran. We're going to break your back. the people are going to take back Iran after we crush the Iranian regime through sanctions. So don't misunderstand. I want everybody to know to be an ally of the United States requires certain things. You don't murder people in consulates in foreign countries and expect us to clap for you. Iran, we've been tough on, we'll continue to be tough on, but this is a challenge. The hardest thing to deal with is abuse by your friends. Everybody expects Putin to act this way in North Korea, but Saudi Arabia, we have an alliance. It's not perfect. This is about us, Brian. It's about who we are, how we react. This is about Saudi Arabia. I hope they will take this moment to deal with this problem in a fashion that will allow the world to engage Saudi Arabia more effectively, because right now MBS is too toxic, in my view, to take Saudi Arabia seriously.
All right. And are you going to speak to the president about this?
Yeah, I absolutely will. I talked to Pompeo Sunday. The relationship is important. Saudi Arabia is not the crown prince. It's bigger than the crown prince. But the crown prince, through this outrageous action, has put us in a box.
Right.
And I want everybody else to know that if you've got plans like this with your friend America, don't go down this road, because you'll pay a heavy price.
Great to be to be at Fox News World Headquarters. Good to get to grab Lindsey Graham up from television. Get a few minutes. Now you have to run.
Gotta run.
Go to you have a few events here in New York City.
Yeah, I do. I'm going to take the DNA test. I'm going to see how much American Indian I am, if at all, and I'll reveal it on Fox and Friends. Stay tuned.
Absolutely. We'll find out. I'm not sure we're going to take that test with Ben Sasse, but it's going to be great to see the senator, the Republican senator from Nebraska, in studio next. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Thanks, Senator.
It's Brian Kilmeade. Tucker Carlson.
There's just so much barking and noise and yelling. Our role is to take three steps back and discern what really matters.
Sean Hannity.
The most important thing that we do, we are looking out for the forgotten men and women in this country.
Laura Ingraham.
They're going to get a straight shooter, no holds barred. I'm not going to cut people slack.
Fox is the one place where dissent is allowed.
We have voices. We won't be silent.
Who controls my voice? Nobody.
Fox News Channel. Real news, real honest opinion.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-225-9306. That's 800-225-9306.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-225-9306. That's 800-225-9306.
Call today.
What it is, this is Tyrus.
And hey guys, it's Britt McHenry, and we're excited to be a part of Fox Nation.
Because now more than ever, we need powerful voices.
That won't hold back, because now, more than ever,
we need Fox Nation.
The new faces you'll want to know.
And the Fox News favorites you already love.
Plus, access and exclusive members-only content.
They're going to be very PC. Hell no, un-PC is more like it.
Fox Nation.
Opinion done right.
Go to FoxNation.com and find out more.
Right now.
Three Dog Night is coming to Reading's historic Cascade Theater October 28th. Don't miss this chance to see Three Dog Night and hear all their iconic hits in the intimate setting of the Cascade. Three Dog Night, October 28th. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Kimberly and Michael are getting married. When they made their wedding plans, they chose a donation to a charity rather than receiving gifts. PALS Fund at Haven Humane helps with the adoption fee if you lack the funds to adopt an older companion that desperately needs a home and has lots of love yet to give. PALS Fund honors the memory of my amazing deaf Dalmatian that provided me love and companionship until his passing over 12 years ago. Thanks to all of you who have supported this fund over the years, and a special thanks to Kim and Mike for caring about our furry homeless friends.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kinney, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. There's a joke around our company that our propane is better than other companies' propane. The fact is that most propane sold in the North State is manufactured in the same refineries in the Bay Area, so there's really no difference. However, there can be a big difference between propane companies. When you call Shasta Gas, you will be greeted by a friendly, knowledgeable customer service representative that will answer your questions or concerns and even give you an approximate time that your delivery will be there if you need to know. If you want, you can also talk to the owner, me. There may also be a big difference in prices between companies. Our motto at Shasta Gas is our customers are warm friends. So for safety, service, and savings, and to experience this difference, give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793.
From Fox News Talk, here's another sound memory.
Radio commercials have been in our popular culture since 1922, but the decades of the 50s and 60s provided iconic performers hawking all kinds of products, like the Four Lads for Ford.
Standing on the corner, watching all the Fords go by. Standing on the corner.
The Who for Great Shakes.
Great Shakes. It's so clean, it's thick and treated. Any place can be a soda fountain now with Great Shakes. Yes, Great Shakes. So if you want your own soda fountain now, go to the store and get Great Shakes. So if you want your own soda fountain now, go to the store and get Great Shakes.
Stay tuned to hear more sound memories on Fox News Talk.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. Back-to-back senators. He's out of Nebraska, but he's here in New York where he feels very comfortable. Senator Ben Sasse is here. He's got one of the most intriguing books out in quite some time. Even though he's knee-deep in politics and policy and he knows the amount of emotion out there, he's looking at the big picture. He's written a new book called Them, Why We Hate Each Other and How to Heal. Senator, welcome.
Thanks, Brian. Good to be here.
But I also like to subtitle that you also... Your other book did extremely well, too, because you thought about the big picture. You thought about culture. Why do we hate each other?
I think it's because we don't have the natural tribes that we're used to as the place that you find happiness. We have a collapsing nuclear family structure. We have fewer deep friends than we've ever had in statistics on this stuff. We have declining local worshiping communities, and we have shorter duration jobs. So political tribalism is ramping, not because politics matters, but it doesn't matter all that much. It's not the center of life. But politics is trying to fill a void as people's neighborhoods are collapsing, and we should be attending to the first things first, which is not politics.
So if I'm in the House watching on my Apple TV, and then I pick up my iPhone, I'm texting a bunch of people and interacting with people that don't exist, that I don't see. You said that the stats went from average amount of Americans with friends, have three point something friends.
Yep.
It's down to like 1 point something now.
Yep.
Is it because of technology?
It's a huge part of it. So thank you for reading the book, by the way. We have half as many friends in America today as we did 25 years ago. The average American had 3.5 friends in 1990. Today, 1.8, as you say. And so the smartphone is great. Lots of wonderful economic things come from your smartphone, but make sure you turn the dang thing off tonight and have dinner with your kids, because it turns out that matters so much more than your smartphone. If you go from 200 to 500 mm-hmm. social media friends, you're not happier statistically. If you know the neighbor two doors down, you're happier.
But you're just saying right now Americans, for the most part, are lonely.
Very lonely. You talk to researchers at the National Institutes of Health. They think that loneliness is the number one public health crisis in America. It drives most of obesity, for instance. Being lonely for a day is the equivalent of smoking 15 cigarettes. I want people to read Them because I want them to be healthier, not just physically, but in their neighborhoods.
But we can't, it's very frustrating to hear, the nuclear family has gone away, and we hear a lot in the minority communities that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
What can I do about it? That makes me want to throw up my hands and say, what am I supposed to do about everybody else making decisions not to have nuclear families?
Yeah, so the first thing you should do is invite people over in your neighborhood. You got lots of listeners who are blessed to have a stable nuclear family. There are a bunch of kids who don't know their dad two blocks from you. Invite invite them over for dinner. Host, coach Little League. Join the Rotary Club. Join Kiwanis. All that stuff is more important than who you're angry at in politics. Again, politics matters, but it's way downstream from the stuff that really matters, which is probably within 5 minutes of your house.
So that's a very interesting thing we could all do. But here you are knee-deep in Washington, the big policies, the emotion. Lindsey Graham says, I was being spit on 2 weeks ago, being spit on by people I've never met before. Senator Jeff Flake is being accosted in elevators by a woman he's never seen before. So how does someone look at that and think Ben Sasse's book really spells out how this happened?
Yeah, so I've had those experiences, too. I think everybody
too,
in
right?
public life gets death threats now. My kids, I have three kids ranging from age 7 to 17. We host water stations at local marathons, and people will come up and scream that when I hand it to a 20-year-old woman running by in the marathon, they'll scream, don't drink it, it's poison, he wants to kill you. They think they're doing that because we differ about legislative issues. There's something much deeper wrong in their life if they're willing to scream that I'm trying to poison somebody when I'm volunteering at a water station. The only way you can make that stuff better is in the neighborhood where you live. That can't be made better by legislation in Washington. You can't pass a bill that mandates people become friends, but your listeners need to become better at being friends in a world where the smartphone is telling us we don't have to live where we are.
So if you have an example in Washington of working across the aisle or with a buddy, let's say Schumer was more likable and you felt like you could work with him. So Jeff Flake said this on 60 Minutes, and I think it applies here.
Senator Flake, you've announced that you're not running for re-election, and I wonder, could you have done this if you were running for re-election?
No. Not a chance.
Not a chance.
No.
Because politics has become too sharp, too partisan?
Yeah. There's no value to reaching across the aisle. There's no currency for that anymore. There's no incentive.
Well, that's the problem. That's the identity. But is that the reason you shouldn't? I mean, if Ben Sasse saw somebody of like mind they could cut a deal with on the other side, are you concerned about your political future if you do it?
No, I don't care about that stuff. I'm one of 8 people out of 100 in the Senate who's never been a politician before. And when my wife and I decided to run, we said for 4.5 of the next 6 years, we'll act like we're never running for re-election. So we're due to pray about it and huddle and talk to some wise counselors in July and August next year and make decisions about our future. But I don't worry about political incumbency as a core motivator for me. But the problem is Washington, D.C. is filled with political addicts. Those are not normal people. People who want to go to Washington, D.C. and stay their whole life, they aren't good representatives of the people listening to your show. We need term limits. We need people who want to be from all the communities, Syracuse, New York, and Fremont, Nebraska, and want to go back to those places because that's the place where you love. Those are the communities that really matter.
But is this also the fact that we need safe spaces at colleges, the fact that they sent therapists to dorms after the election. Does that play into why you wrote this book?
Yeah, that's a mess. We do touch on the safe space movement in this book. I was a college president before I ran for Senate. And one of the reasons moms and dads should be writing checks to send your kids to college is so that you encounter ideas you didn't already know. If you want to go to a college where you never have to encounter any idea you didn't already know, I don't know why you'd spend any money. That's called education. I don't want my kids to be safe from new ideas. I want them to encounter new ideas, but I want to do it in the context of human relationship, where after you argue about philosophy or politics or whatever, you then want to go get a drink with somebody and have a dinner with them because they're actually still humans created in the image of God.
So when you decide, for example, I think you might be a good example. You just told me something I did not know. You've been critical of the president, not of his policies, but a lot of it is his demeanor, a lot of the way he approaches do things. But you do still talk to the president.
Oh, I do. I like talking to the president, and I'm grateful that he's willing to take my call. So we wrestle through issues. I think he's done a great job on a bunch of cyber issues, for instance, and I've been praising him on that. And I want to take a tiny bit of issue, Brian. Demeanor, obviously there's a ton of stuff the president does which is new that a lot of people are just having to wrestle through and make sense of. There are issues where I agree with the president on policy. There are issues where I disagree, and he's grateful. I'm grateful that he's willing to wrestle with me and have a conversation. What I'm really worried about, though, is not this president or the election of 2020. I'm worried about what kind of country we leave our kids in 10 and 20 years. And we need to be having long-term conversations about what America's about, why we have limited government, why we should do entitlement reform, and the kind of stuff we talk about in them, which is America believes in limited government because the center of the world is your community, not D.C.
So, Senator, you live in a state that likes that is like Fox, one of the so-called flyover states that people are ignoring. Before Fox came along, I would argue
you that Los Angeles, D.C., and New York just would program every single sitcom and every news broadcast. We didn't try to do that, or our audience came from different. What do you know in Nebraska that New York, D.C., and California doesn't?
That even though we're 0-6 right now, the Huskers are still the best football team of the last 50 years, and every state in the union better get ready for it. Yeah, we're the best of the last 50 years. Now, granted, we were really good from 50 until about 17 years ago.
Tom Osborne,
but we'll be back. Yeah, Coach Frost will lead us back to the promised land.
Right, but football aside, you guys are not caught up in this in Nebraska. You're not in the play-by-play. You're not into the palace intrigue.
No, I think the vast majority of Nebraskans know that the really important things that happen in the world are what kind of character your kid's going to have 2 months and 2 years from now, right? It's about whether or not the people in your neighborhood want to go to the same neighborhood gym next Saturday night and cheer on the same team, even if we differ about politics.
Mm-hmm.
Politics can't be the center of your life. It can't fill the vacuum of the worry we all have in our soul. Who's going to comfort us on our deathbed? That's going to be family and friends and coworkers. It's not going to be some politician off in Washington.
Yeah, I agree with you. Say the iPhone also has some things in it now that will tell you how long you've been looking at it, what you've been doing, and
yeah.
You can reevaluate it, and parents can get involved in that. Just like they could tell you who you can hang out with when you're younger, they could tell you about your iPhone.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Again, the iPhone has lots of benefits, but the average American's checking it every 4 minutes, and it's not healthy for our 15-year-olds. There's a whole chapter in Them about how to think about the right and the wrong ways to use technology in your family.
The name of the book is Them, Why We Hate Each Other and How to Heal. Ben Sasse wrote it, Senator from Nebraska. Senator, always great to have you in studio.
Thanks for having me, Brian.
This is Carl Bott, and I'm with Dan Scott of Eagle Eye Painting. And Dan's doing all the painting in our new studios. Dan, you've been doing this for 20 years. What should people be looking for at this time of the year?
Peeling paint, moisture in their wood, moisture in the stucco would be a couple things to look for. And then they know it's time to paint.
You've got, with 20 years in the business, where are some of the places you've been working at around here?
I've painted Riverview Golf and Country Club, SJ Denim, Market Street Steakhouse. Those are just a few I've painted.
The thing I like about Eagle Eye Painting is when you give an estimate, That estimate stays there. It doesn't change halfway through the job.
No, there's no variation in my proposal. I have confidence in my numbers, and I stick to those. DanScottPainting.com, 530-400-5152. Eagle Eye Painting, a clear vision of craftsmanship. Eagle Eye Painting.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
NHL star Matt Martin for American Humane.
Hi, I'm Matt Martin, and in all my years of playing professional hockey, I've gotten my share of bruises and injuries. But for many who really put their lives on the line every day, it's not always the injuries you can see that hurt the most. I'm talking about our veterans. Every single day, 184 veterans are diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, and tragically, 20 take their own lives. When medications and therapy don't help, professionally trained service dogs can. American Humane, serving the U.S. military for over 100 years, has put together a free guide to help veterans obtain these life-saving service animals. If you are a veteran or know a veteran struggling with PTS, please go to AmericanHumane.org for this free, downloadable resource. Let's give our veterans the help they need to win their battle.
For more information, visit AmericanHumane.org.
This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind. 1980.
5 seconds to the goal.
The jury took less than 2 hours to reach its verdict. Remarkably fast when you consider they had 33 separate murders to consider.
I can't say at this moment what other nations will not go to the Summer Olympics in Moscow. Ours will not go.
I aim to try and tap that great American spirit that opened up this completely undeveloped continent from coast to coast and made it a great nation.
This individual, Mr. Chapman, came up behind him and called to him Mr. Lenin, and then in a combat stance, he emptied the Charter Arms 38 caliber gun that he had with him and shot John Lennon.
News as it happened. News as it happened.
This is Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice, the legal fight over the much-loved, much-feared grizzly bear. The last time it was legal to hunt a grizzly in any state other than Alaska, George H.W. Bush was president and the Soviet Union still existed. It was 1991. Since then, grizzlies were protected throughout the lower 48 states. In recent years, the grizzly population has made a comeback, and every now and then people have been attacked, usually in a wilderness encounter. The Trump administration has removed the grizzly from the endangered species list. The states of Wyoming and Idaho plan to begin a limited, legal grizzly hunt around Yellowstone National Park starting the first of this month. The states argue a limited hunt would not harm the overall population. But wildlife advocates and Native American groups went to court and want a two-week delay. And now a federal judge has extended the delay for another 2 weeks to further study the effort to restore the grizzly's protected status. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
The talk show that's getting you talking. You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Hi, welcome back, everybody. Senator Lindsey Graham kicked us off, then over to Senator Ben Sass. And if you want to put, and Ben Sass is trying to get our society today in perspective. What about getting American history in perspective? Doris Kearns Goodwin is in studio, and she has a great new book out called Leadership in Turbulent Times. If there's a better historian in the country, I just don't know who it is. She draws upon all four presidents in particular, Abraham Lincoln, Theodore Roosevelt, FDR, and LBJ, presidents you knew a lot about going in, right, Doris?
Yeah, I spent many years with them, so many years that I felt like I was waking up with them in the morning and thinking about them when I went to bed at night.
That's so interesting because then when I looked at this book, I said, did you cull from what you know or did you have to go back and dig again?
I definitely have to dig again. I mean, the reason I chose to these four instead of writing about a whole new president was that each time I would leave the guy behind when I went from FDR to Lincoln or Lincoln to Teddy, I'd feel like I was leaving an old boyfriend behind. I felt guilty. So I thought, what if I keep my four guys but look at them through the lens of leadership? And I had to learn a lot more. Where did their ambition come from? How did they run for office the first time? How did their ambition change from self to something larger? Questions that weren't part of my sprawling biography. So, and I read a lot of literature from business, actually, because there's so many leadership literatures, because I ended up doing case study of all of them, which sort of along the business lines.
So you said you read the business to find out about their leadership principles and see if it applied to these guys?
In many ways, I did. I've been lecturing for the last couple decades to leadership groups in business many times, as well as universities, and they write about leadership more than a lot of other people do. So I think it's human nature. If you're a leader of a huge company, the traits you need to have a team that works well, to infuse purpose in the team, to be able to communicate to the team, to reach out beyond the people on the top level. These are all qualities that we need in politics as well.
So you look at Abraham Lincoln, he was not born a great leader, right?
Abraham Lincoln, it's an extraordinary story. I mean, to think about this young man who only has 12 months of schooling, he has to scour the countryside for books and read everything he can lay his hands on. But he was born with empathy. There was a sense in this little kid, even when he saw his friends put hot coals on turtles to make them wriggle, he told them that's wrong. He came by a drunken man on a highway one time, not a highway, a road, and all of his friends passed by, and he lifted him up and carried him to a fire and taking care of him. There was something inside that guy that I think was there from the beginning, but boy, he had to develop it.
So tell me with the way of this story you know and can corroborate. He didn't like his dad. His dad was a really tough man, and his dad used to know his son was a very good wrestler. And he used to wrestle him for money. And one time he takes on, I don't know Armstrong's first name. Right. Was it Jack?
Yep, Jack Armstrong. You know things.
So they end up wrestling. And when his father when his father went to finish him off, wanted him to finish him off, he let him up. And then the mob went after Lincoln. And Armstrong was the one who pushed the mob back and said, he beat me fair and square. And that they end up being friends for life.
That is the story that I've heard, too. And I think the important part of that story, too, is the father was always resentful of the fact that Abraham Lincoln wanted to read books. He thought it was lazy in a physical culture that demanded constant effort to fell the trees and plant the crops. He would take the books away from him at times. So he had to fight for education against his very father. And I think that's where the alienation took place, because he wanted to learn so badly.
So you have somebody, too, and no one, you know, the Civil War, when people say Lincoln, he takes office. As tough as much as he had empathy, he also knew he had to win a war, and it would mean tens of thousands being dead. And he said he's pushing his generals to fight. So the man who didn't want to put a coal in the back of a frog knew he had to push generals to have one American shoot another American. Is that part of leadership, making the tough decision that may rankle your instincts?
Without a question. He once said how strange it is that he who had hated violence, he never even wanted to kill a turkey when he was young, would find himself in the middle of the bloodiest war in time. And yes, you have to be both merciless and merciful. You have to be both patient and perseverant. And he was both things at the same time. He encountered that side. The great place where the empathy comes out is once he is winning the war, once the Union is coming to an end with the war, he gives the second inaugural and talks about reconciling with the South. But until that moment of triumph, he was willing to expend every bit of blood he had to in order to get the war won and get slavery ended.
It's amazing, too, if you think about the humility he had. Do you think humility has something to do with great leadership? Some say it shows weakness to say, I don't know. Let somebody else's ideas come out and not be yours. That could show vulnerability. Where does humility and vulnerability come in?
Yeah, for some reason, in today's world, it seems vulnerable to admit weaknesses. In the earlier days, certainly for Abraham Lincoln, when he runs for office the first time, it's a wonderful statement he makes. Every man has his peculiar ambition. Mine is to be esteemed of by my fellow man. But I'm not sure if you'll understand me, and I'm not sure if you'll vote for me. And if I do lose, I won't be too chagrined because I'm familiar with disappointment. But then he says, but I'm going to try 5 or 6 times until I'm too humiliated, and then I won't try again, I promise. But he said in that opening statement, if I don't know something, I'm going to learn it. If I say something wrong, I'm going to correct it. Right from the start, he comes out of the gate with those qualities of resilience, humility, and empathy, and they stay with him the rest of his life.
Now, tell me if this is a leap that you could take. Ron Chernow, in his book on Grant, talks about how Grant, when the slaves, after the emancipation was issued, more and more slaves were deciding to run for freedom. And when they were running to Grant, it was Grant's idea to say, let's give these guys some uniforms and let them fight. And he sees how they fought, they got together and they galvanized and came into a unit. And that's when Lincoln starts getting an idea of what this country's going to look like when this war is over.
No, I think that's right. Once the black soldiers became part of the Union Army, as they did when he finally opened the door to the black soldiers, they fought magnificently. And even the generals who'd been against the idea of bringing them into the army began to see that they're helping the cause and they're doing an amazing job. But Lincoln was reluctant at first to do it. I mean, he waited and waited until 1963 because he feared that the whites in the army weren't ready for it. He feared the North, even the North, wasn't ready. Timing is everything, he said. So he watched the changing sentiment. He watched what was beginning to happen. And that's another quality of a leader. You can't do what you may want to do unless the timing is right. The timing was perfect for the Emancipation Proclamation and for allowing blacks in the army.
Even though it was driving Frederick Douglass nuts that he was waiting so long, right?
Exactly. But Frederick Douglass said, once Lincoln takes a stand on something, he'll never go back. He may be slow getting there, but it's true. I mean, when he issued the Emancipation Proclamation, there was a lot of blowback in the North. Northern legislatures passed rules saying, statements saying, we're not for this. We didn't fight for this. We're just for the Union. And some of them were threatening to secede from North New England. And yet Lincoln knew that the timing would be okay, that they would come around. And they finally did. And then Douglas finally accepted, yes, you were right on timing.
Wow. Doris Kearns Goodwin's here. So if there was a natural leader, even though he started off, grew up sickly, and he was somebody who had to be homeschooled, it had to be Teddy Roosevelt, it seems. He built up his body because he couldn't early. He did late. He became physical late because he couldn't early, right?
You know, what's so interesting about Teddy is that he made himself a strong person, and that became an exemplar for the rest of his life. He said one time, there are two kinds of success in the world. Some is when somebody has a talent that nobody else can develop, no matter how hard they try, like a Keats for a poem or Lincoln at Gettysburg. But most people, he said, like himself, have ordinary talents that they develop to an extraordinary degree through hard, sustained work. He wasn't a good eyesight person, but he was a great birder. He wasn't that great of a shot, but he became a world-class hunter. He wasn't a good boxer, but he somehow lost an eye at one point, but he became a good boxer. Everything came through hard work. He made himself who he was.
Boxing in the basement, wasn't he?
Boxing.
Of the White House.
Ridiculous. Wrestling matches, boxing. His favorite thing was taking people on these hikes in wooded areas of Rock Creek Park, where he made a rule that you couldn't go around any obstacle. You had to go up a rock. If you got it, go down. People were falling by the wayside as they're trying to find him in the woods. 2 hours he would exercise every day. It's one of the things I think about my leaders, which is that they're able to figure out how to find time to think and relax and replenish their energies. We think we don't have time in our 24/7 world. They had pretty important things to do, the Civil War, World War II.
And they did.
And they surely did.
Right. Doris, when you talk about Teddy Roosevelt, he took on the monopolies. He felt like they had too much power, and they did. Maybe, perhaps, they were controlling too much of the economy. And if you want to take on the big guys, the bullies, maybe it helps that you were 110 pounds suffering from asthma your whole youth, and maybe were picked on yourself. And maybe you don't lose that ability to try to avenge it.
You know, that's really interesting. I'm not sure I fully thought about that, but I think you're right. I mean, he was bullied as a child, and he felt that some of the big companies were bullying smaller companies and getting them out of business, and he was going to defend the people who needed the help, the people who were in the independent companies and wanted to have their own life and their own sense of accomplishment, and they were being taken by the big hand of these monopolies. I think you're right. I hadn't thought about that.
Wow. I want to talk about the power plays of FDR and LBJ. Do we have some more time? We can go again. Great. So Leadership is the name of the book in turbulent times. It's doing extremely well. No surprise. Doris Kearns Goodwin put it together. Two more presidents coming your way and how it compares to the president today, which I know is a challenge. Back in a moment. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show.
Giving you everything you need to know. It's Brian Kilmeade.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-316-4935. That's 800-316-4935. 800-316-4935.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
Hi, this is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial. As a community, we are all recovering from the car fire. We understand the seriousness of this disaster and the frustration of dealing with the insurance companies. Insurance policies can be very difficult to understand. If you have questions about your insurance policy and need help in any way, please feel free to give us a call at 221-0441. This is Judy Maxwell with Maxwell Insurance and Financial.
Securities offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a registered broker-dealer member FINRA and SIPC. Advisory services offered through Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated, a SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Judy Maxwell, representative. Maxwell Insurance and Financial and Mutual of Omaha Investor Services Incorporated are not affiliated. The information presented is intended for educational purposes only. It is not intended to replace the advice of an attorney or a qualified tax professional. This is not an offer or solicitation in any jurisdiction where they are not authorized to do business. Registered branch address, 1378 Hilltop Drive, Redding, California, 96003.
We humans may not get to hibernate, but we still love to feed that inner bear. Black Bear Diner is serving up your favorite comfort food, plus new items including Fit and Focused, Blackened Salmon, a vegan Beyond Burger, and even avocado toast. But they've not forgotten those of us who want to go full bear. Load up your favorite sides of potatoes and fries with cheese and bacon, or try our new creamy and very indulgent mac and cheese entree. Feed your inner bear at Black Bear Diner, Hilltop Drive, Reading.
Black Bear Diner.
Slow down. Hi, this is Dr. Trudy Pratt. My chiropractic and nutrition practice in downtown Reading has been helping people feel better for over 20 years. We pride ourselves in really listening to our patients and then tailoring a program of nutrition, chiropractic care, massage, and exercise that's just right for you. The results can be dramatic. Call 244-7873. That's 244-7873. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. You're not going to believe it. In studio, if you're watching the stream, you know it. Doris Kearns Goodwin is here. Her book on leadership is out in turbulent times, where she looks at some outstanding presidents and how they were able to rise to the occasion. We talked about Lincoln and Teddy Roosevelt. And, Doris, let's look at FDR and Lyndon Baines Johnson. They were similar, right? You'd be able to use political power to get what they wanted. They were cutting deals, correct?
Absolutely. I mean, deals are important. I mean, when Lyndon Johnson needed to get the Civil Rights Bill through, he had to get the Republicans to help break the filibuster. So he sits down with the Republican Minority Leader Everett Dirksen, and he promises everything. You want an ambassadorship? You want a postmastership in Peoria? You want me to come to Springfield? You want us all to be there? But then he also understands that Dirksen wants to be remembered by history as well. So he says to him, Everett, you come with me on this bill, and you bring your Republicans to help break the Southern Democratic filibuster. 200 years from now, school children will know only two names, Abraham Lincoln and Everett Dirksen. How can Dirksen resist?
That's
so
persuasion.
He's on all different levels, he's trying to persuade people.
So what was the America that FDR took over?
When you think about it, he was so worried in February of 33 that the whole house of cards might collapse before he even got there. People were taking their money out of the banks because the banks didn't have their deposits on hand to take care of people's savings as they were pulling them out. The banking system was collapsing. One out of four people had jobs, and their jobs were for small numbers of wages and few hours. There were people in the streets who were hungry. There was a feeling that capitalism itself was at risk. And when he came on, what he had to give, most importantly, was contagious optimism. It wasn't that he didn't acknowledge in his inaugural. He said only a foolish optimist would not deny the dark realities of the moment. But if we can come together as a people, and if the government can help with the problems we have, they had to help with jobs. The private sector couldn't do it anymore. States couldn't do it.
Make work jobs.
Even if it's make work jobs, you give people back a dignity until the economy gets going, and then you have the longer kind of jobs that would be possible once the economy got going. And he got them into the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps. A whole generation of young people would have been without jobs, and they're working in the woods, and they're learning camaraderie, and they're learning common missions, something I wish we had today as well.
The WPA?
The WPA and the PWA, all these wonderful initials he had. But, you know, in fact, the interesting thing is he had two different people working on jobs. One was Harry Hopkins, who liked the small term, make work jobs if it needed to be, even if it's leaf raking, you get the person going across the street and coming back. And then Harold Ickes, the Secretary of the Interior, wanted long jobs like dams and public work projects that would last and then come back to the economy. And they began to fight in public, and he didn't like that. So he invited them on a cruise on the Panama Canal for 3 weeks so they could drink and fish together. By that time, their fight was undone. That's how you have to deal with those kind of problems inside your government.
So you're coming out of the Depression, and you looming ahead is a world war. So how are we going to afford to fight in this war? Let's stay out of it. The American public didn't want any part of it. At the same time, how do we stand up this economy? And then a lot of pushback from conservatives who don't want the social programs, correct?
Correct.
Because their instincts are social programs are going to be hard to break up, which we don't really end programs even today, which is why we're $780 billion over budget right now on the deficit. So he was able to get through it. Now, bring me to the psyche of FDR. Where did this leadership come from?
You know, I think from the time he was young, he was confident. He was gifted with an optimistic temperament. But I think he was the kind of person who experimented through the New Deal and then even during the war. You try something, if it doesn't work, you say to yourself, I have to try something else. And the great thing he did during World War II is he realized that his relationship with the business community was at odds, obviously, and he needed them to build the ships, the tanks, the planes, and the weapons.
Convert their factories.
So he put up an olive branch to them. He stopped antitrust regulation. He built their factories. He gave them profits that they would already have. And it was the most magnificent government-business relationship in the history of our country. Three shifts a day, what they produced in planes and airplanes, which we gave to and lease all over the world. It was an extraordinary partnership. I love thinking about that whole mobilization period.
So keeping the country together and keeping the allies together. And one of those allies is Joseph Stalin.
Correct. And he saw only at the end of his life he began to see what was going to happen with Stalin. He needed Stalin early on. Russia was essential for keeping the German forces out of Russia, and so many Germans were killed because of the Russians. He needed Russia, he thought, to come into Japan. If we were going to invade Japan, we would lose 1 million people. He wanted the UN, and he needed Russia for that. So he wasn't in the best of health when he made those decisions, but I think he would have made them anyway. But then Stalin became a much more complicated character than he had realized.
LBJ comes out, and one thing about him, you mentioned before that he does do deals. We don't do any deals anymore. You know, we don't really compromise. And as I just played this for Ben Sasse, Jeff Flake saying there's no reward in compromising these days. Was it a different America in LBJ's?
Oh, without a question. You know, the congressmen and senators used to stay in Washington. They played poker together. They weren't racing home to raise their money. Their wives knew each other. Their kids knew each other. I mean, he could call on friendships that were true. I mean, they were real friendships. But he also never stopped calling. He'd call at 6 in the morning. He'd call at noon. He even called a senator at 2 a.m. I hope I didn't wake you up, but I need you on this deal. And he promised them what they needed for their states, but there was a larger goal in mind. It could be civil rights or voting rights or Medicare or Medicaid. He knew what he was doing, the means to the ends, but it worked, and they got something out of it, and so did he, and so did the country.
All right, so if I was sitting there and I want to teach leadership to my 12th grade football team or my son or daughter, what could I take from FDR?
I think you could take that what a leader has to do is to have a bond with the people that he's talking with. He kept up conversations in those fireside chats. He knew as long as he explained the problems to the people and he told them why he was doing what he was doing, they would then come along with him. So he kept talking. He kept listening. I think having that communication where whoever you're trying to lead, know where you're going, and then be able to explain to the people why they should go there with you.
And then you have LBJ, who was a leader. A lot of people, but he also would cut deals. The ends justify the means, right?
Yes, and he would say what convinces his conviction. In the end, he knew what he wanted to do, but in order to get there, he had to do a lot of things to make it possible. And that's what Congress used to be about. Why not share some of the largesse of what's happening in the city in the states and the country is with the nation?
Donald Trump shocked the world, no doubt. What advice would you give him now? 2 years in, 2 years left, maybe six.
I think one of the things would be to get out of Washington more. I mean, Teddy Roosevelt went on a train for 6 weeks every spring and fall so he could visit people in local areas, hear their complaints, listen to them, and learn from them. Teddy said the worry for America, and that's still the worry today, is if people in different regions, sections, parties, religions begin to see each other as the other. I mean, that's partly what you were talking about before. And the way to do that is to just go and see as many of those people as you can, even if they haven't voted for you, to expand your base.
And under a minute, that was the big worry of the 13 colonies, that they wanted just to stay in their own states. They had to be convinced. They had to be we're stronger together.
And that's why old George Washington went around the country, too, to be able to visit the different states, to make them feel part of a whole. We've lost that sense of common duties and common interests in the country. And we have to retain that sense of citizenship. People in the military have it. When they come back, they've had a common mission. They care about that. That goes across race, party, any kind of lines. We have to make our own people feel that again. That's what leadership needs to do.
Some type of service, some type of mandatory service.
I think it's the most. One of my sons served in Iraq and Afghanistan, and he's now a huge proponent of national service. You come out of high school, maybe you go to a different part of the country, and you're living with a host family, and you're working on some common mission. You're going to feel differently about these other people and yourself and the country.
And I'm a huge proponent of your son's mother, Doris Kearns Goodwin.
Thanks so much.
Fox and Friends.
We're waking up America and we're telling them what's going on in the world. And that is such an awesome responsibility, but it's fun. What we're trying to do is not only tell you what's going on, but the backstory.
We're able to tell the folks at home, hey, this is important to you. This is why you need to listen. We have a great, honest conversation about what's happening in the news.
When people meet us, when they see us, they feel like they know us, because guess what? They do. The only way to be successful on Fox is to be yourself.
Fox and Friends on Fox News Channel. Real news, real honest opinion.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-582-75.
Alan Gordon here with Coachmaster Collision Repair. That's correct. As a new owner of Coachmaster, I'd like to thank Don Steck for his long commitment and dedication to the automotive collision business. For over 50 years, Coachmaster has been offering the highest standard in auto collision repair. If you had a vehicle repaired by Coachmaster in the last 20 years, then we've already met. Coachmaster will continue to offer the same personal service, quality-driven technicians, and pride in every job we do. We'll miss Don as an instructor at Shasta College, his public service, and many entertaining commercials over the years.
Coachmaster Collision Repair continues to be the leader in the North State for advanced technology in the collision repair industry. From laser and 3D frame alignment machines and computerized paint matching technology to qualified technicians working on your vehicle. Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road in Redding.
And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, Community Talk Radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. The United States has been a signatory of the Intermediate Range Nuclear Forces Treaty with Russia since 1987, but that's about to change after President Trump announced he's taking the U.S. out of the deal.
We're not going to let them violate a nuclear agreement and go out and do weapons, and we're not allowed to. We're the ones that have stayed in the agreement, and we've honored the agreement, but Russia has not, unfortunately, honored the agreement. So we're going to terminate the agreement. We're going to pull out.
The pact helps protect the security of the U.S. and its allies in Europe and the Far East by prohibiting the United States and Russia from possessing, producing, or test flying a ground-launched cruise missile with a range of up to 3,400 miles. At a campaign stop in Elko, Nevada Saturday, President Trump says Democrats' dreams of a blue wave next month will be shattered. The president also took a slight-hearted swat at the media, saying he may be criticized for admiring attractive women at his rallies.
I better apologize, because if I don't, for calling you all beautiful, because if I don't apologize, they will go wild tomorrow. Headlines, Donald Trump called women beautiful. They're all saying, please call me beautiful. It is a crazy phenomenon that's going on.
Despite Mexican efforts to stop them at the border, about 2,000 Central American migrants swam or rafted across a river separating that country from Guatemala, reformed their mass caravan in Mexico, and vowed to resume their journey toward the United States. Meanwhile, President Trump reiterated his promise to send federal troops south if they cross the U.S. border. World Series is set. Game 7, L.A. beat Milwaukee 5-1. They go back to the World Series for the second straight year. They'll face the Boston Red Sox at Fenway Park Tuesday night. More news and analysis at townhall.com.
Have you ever seen a pest controller spraying chemicals in your home? It makes you wonder, if their chemicals are safe, then why do they suit up and wear respirators only to leave you to walk back in unprotected? G'day, I'm Scott from Plug-In Pestfree, and I'm here to tell you there's a better way. In an age where we now have the choice to drive electric cars, you too can electronically rid your home or business of unwanted rodents and pests. The answer is Plug-In Pest Free. 100% chemical-free, Plug-In Pest Free is your safest bet for your family and pets. Our bestseller, the Plug-In Pest Free Pro, will cover up to 4,000 square feet. Now that's fair dinkum. So order yours today at gopestfree.com. Use promo code SAVE20 for 20% off plus free shipping and a 60-day money-back guarantee. That's gopestfree.com, promo code SAVE20. Don't spray and regret. Plug in and forget. Gopestfree.com today.
An estimated 500,000 people took to the streets in London Saturday calling for a second Brexit referendum. One of those participating was London Mayor Sadiq Khan, who says the British government doesn't have a mandate to gamble with the future of its people.
The government is risking the livelihoods of our children without the people having a final say. Are we going to stay quiet?
Anna Sobery, a Conservative Party MP, says Brexit leaders are not taking responsibility for the chaos that they've created.
They've walked away. We will not walk away. We will take responsibility and we will sort out this mess with a people's vote. That's what we're going to do.
In 2016, 52% of those who voted approved the referendum to leave the European Union. Breaking news and analysis at townhall.com. A former U.S. Navy commander has been sentenced to more than 2 years in prison.
51-year-old Troy Amundson of Ramsey, Minnesota, had pleaded guilty to accepting lavish dinners, drinks, and the services of prostitutes in exchange for providing ship schedules to a Malaysian defense contractor at the center of one of the military's worst corruption scandals. His lawyers argued that Amundson was not aware the ship schedules were classified, though their client acknowledged that from 2012 to 2013, he took the bribes from Leonard Glenn Francis, nicknamed Fat Leonard. 21 people have pleaded guilty so far. Patrick Foss reporting.
More than a week after Hurricane Michael smashed into the Florida panhandle on a path of destruction that led all the way to the Georgia border, more than 100,000 Florida customers still without power. That, according to the State Department of Emergency Management, more than half the outages are in Bay County, where the storm came in between Mexico Beach and Panama City. More on these stories at townhall.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
From the Fox News radio studios in New York City, fresh off the set of Fox and Friends, it's America's receptive voice, Brian Kilmeade.
All right, that's my cue to start talking. This hour, we're going to be joined by one of the most interesting candidates out there in this midterm election, and that is John James, the West Point grad, making a real run of things in Michigan. And we'll get details on John James' hopes for the upset from Anthony Salvanto. Anthony is in studio right now, and he's got a brand new book out. Well, not brand new. He was here a month ago when it came out, but it's still so relevant as we get set for the midterms. He does CBS News Elections and Surveys Director, but he's author of Where Did You Get This Number? A Pollster's Guide to Making Sense of the World. And then John James at the bottom of the hour. I got to remind you before we get to our big three topics and the midterms that you can see me at the 19th, 20th, and 21st. First in Tampa, Virginia Beach, and then Nashville. Go to BrianKilmeade.com for tickets. America, great from the start. Let's go.
Now, with the stories you need to know, it's Brian's Big Three. Number three.
This Saudi operation in Turkey could ruin all of their best laid plans to essentially destroy or undermine the Iranian economy. They need the Saudis desperately to engage in this plan. Saudi Arabia has to keep the oil flowing if Iran's oil gets cut off.
That is Jeffrey Goldberg of The Atlantic. Khashoggi killed, and we know it. Who did it? How did they pull it off? And why did they think they could pull it off? What does it do for Donald Trump's Middle East policy? After all, he still needs a counter to Iran.
Number two.
When it comes to this caravan, as I said last night, the president needs to work with Mexico. Mexico needs to stop them on their southern border, not issue them transit visas, and turn them around right there on the southern border so they don't get to the United States.
Thomas Homan, former ICE director, with Laura last night. The caravan's coming. Thousands from Central America demanding to be let in. They are a border nightmare for the Border Patrol and a Democratic disaster in my mind. I'll ask Anthony that in a second.
Number one.
You know, I keep hearing about the enthusiasm, the blue wave, but I think we have tremendous enthusiasm. We've been energized anyway, but we're more energized since Justice Kavanaugh.
That is Donald Trump talking to Trish Regan yesterday. 20 days in counting, and we still have a second verdict on Trump's Republican Party. And guess who is setting records already in their quest to win re-election in 2020? I'll let you know what he's already done. And that has raised, by the way, over $100 million, $337 million if you combine with what he's earned for the RNC. So he's doing it both. Anthony Salvato joins us in studio. Anthony, congratulations on the success of your book. And the quote and the title is, "Where did you get this number?"
Well, we're trying to make sense of things, Brian, and thank you so much. A really pleasure to be here.
And you used to remind me on Sunday when you hop back on Face Nation, I said, we've got to have Anthony back, hopefully, because our networks are different networks. When you're on a book tour, we could kind of put that to the side, right?
Yeah, exactly. We get a little more leeway. But look, it's great. It's great to talk to people about it. I appreciate the chance. But also, you know, it's good, as I'm going around, as you well know, you know, as I'm going around and I'm talking to people and I'm hearing from Americans about all of this, the questions that I get, you know, I listen. I try to listen as much as I talk as I'm going around with the book. And it's been really informative. It's been a real pleasure.
So people wonder, I've never been polled. Why do these polls work? You know, and they felt disillusioned. Some happy to be disillusioned. Some unhappy about what happened in 2016. What do you tell them?
Oh, absolutely. And I get that. And what I tell them is, look, even if you've never been polled, we have talked to somebody like you. And people go, oh wait, there's nobody like me, right? I'm unique. Well, that's true. Okay, everybody's special in that regard. But look, if you're a Republican, let's say, you know, there's 40 million people like you in that regard. And there's different types of Republicans, of course. There's men, there's women. We've talked to somebody who would essentially answer the questions the same way you would. And so what we put together is a microcosm of the country. Look, it's hard work. And I talk about how we do that in the book. It's not easy. But that said, you know, we do think these work. Having said that, look, there's a margin of error around it, and there are still scenarios. There are still things that could change. I even talked about this, like you mentioned the other day, on Face. We were looking at what happens this year. We were looking at what happens in 2018 in these midterms. And I said, okay, so we've got one estimate that has, let's say, the Democrats at 226 seats over the 218. But what happens if all of these folks who tell us in the polls that they're showing up for the first time in a midterm don't show up, right? They haven't voted before. So we can take them at their word, and we do, and we put them in the polls. But if they haven't done it before, well, what happens if this time around they say, yeah, it's going to be like last time, I'm not going to show up, something gets in the way, they mean to do it, but they're busy. If they don't show up, then the Democrat number drops. It drops to under a majority, and the Republicans hold the House. So
the lesser the smaller the turnout, the better for the party in power, or just Republicans in particular?
It looks right now better for the Republicans in particular if it's a low turnout election. That's what our model showed. And the idea behind that is not just to tell what might happen in 2018, but to your question about what do we make of these polls, should have your pollster give you these scenarios. Give it in people terms, right? So that's one way I'm trying to approach things a little bit differently than 2016.
I want you to hear what Maggie Haberman said on Sunday, what's changed since Labor Day, and see if you're on board. She's with the New York Times, Cut 12.
There had been the dream among some Democratic strategists as recently as 3 weeks ago that they were going to be able to take back the Senate even by one seat. I got an email from a Democratic strategist who I trust the other day saying, yes, obviously what I said several weeks ago doesn't hold anymore.
Well, Heidi Heitkamp in North Dakota.
Absolutely. This is not a favorable map. What you have seen with Kavanaugh is it's gone in opposite directions in terms of solidifying the Republican base, in terms of the Senate. But in these districts in the House, there are too many retirements, I think, for Republicans to overcome it. I think the way these districts are carved up. I also think we haven't talked about one important issue in terms of Democratic voters, which is the gender gap.
So can I take that one by
Republicans at all?
Can I take that one by one? First off, did things change since Kavanaugh?
A little bit, yeah. And I think that's generally right. I think the Republicans at this point are favored to hold the Senate, and the mechanism behind
that. You're not
that.
Willing to say that it's likely.
I don't go, look, with weeks to go, I mean, here's another thing about, you mentioned 2016, right? Let's look at the range of possibilities here. I'm not going to say that it's likely, but at this point, okay, what's happened since Kavanaugh is that these red states, these Republican states.
Tennessee, Texas.
You know, you've got Arizona, Nevada that Democrats are trying to flip, but North Dakota, Montana, Missouri. All these places, the predominant, most of them voted, of course, for President Trump at the time. The election has nationalized to a large degree.
And the president wants that.
Well, I think I don't know what he wants.
Well,
but
you know what he wants. He wants it to be on him, but go ahead.
Well, we'll talk about that in a second because he's a major factor, especially in the House. But, you know, speaking of the Senate, look, you've got now by 2-1 people telling us that they are voting on national issues as opposed to local ones.
Interesting.
So you remember, you know, that old saying, all politics, local politics. Not so much this year, okay? So when it becomes nationalized, we look at that and we go, okay, well, what's the partisan breakout of these states? Well, they're red states. They're Republican states. And that is making it harder for either Democratic incumbents in these places to hold on or for them to get traction in a place. You mentioned Texas as well. We still got, you know, Cruz ahead of O'Rourke there. So that's an example of where that nationalization of the election has, at this point anyway, kept the Republicans in maybe favored to hold the Senate.
A couple of things. It looks like Marsha Blackburn went from trailing almost the entire time where Bob Corker was, I told you so, and now, because Bob Corker was reluctant to endorse her because he's friends with now Democrat Phil Bredesen, but now he's doing a fundraiser for her, and she's considered to be up, I don't want to tell the pollster the number, but 6. And then you look at the same, roughly 7 by Cruz. So he's reestablished himself after someone said, you know, that was a 1 or 2 point race. That seems to have happened since Kavanaugh. Heidi Heitkamp is down double digits. It looks like it's lost. And then in Montana, we have Tester up by 1 or 2.
Yeah, I had him up by 3. Tester.
You had him up by 3?
We also had Blackburn up in Tennessee, and we polled there a couple of weeks ago.
Up by how much?
We had it 8. Some other places have had it, like you said, 6. I've seen double digits. I've seen another one just out that has the margin a little bit smaller. But it's a consistent pattern of her being up there. But again, that's, you know, I haven't measured yet the Taylor Swift endorsement effect. We'll see. You know, we'll see if that has anything, you know, to do
with
something.
She's got the social media print.
She's got the social media. You know, we'll see if registrations or people, you know, get turned on or activated because of that. But having said all of that, you know, we've got a case here again, a nationalized election. I mean, the Bredesen case is a perfect example of where the Democrats might have wanted to make it about state issues, about local issues. As long as it's nationalized, it tracks.
Anthony's here, and he's the name of his book is Where Did You Get This Number? The Outstanding Pollster with CBS is bringing us inside the numbers. Maggie Habermas, is the other statement that she made is a gender gap. So what did you find on the gender gap? We know that Hillary Clinton won the female vote, but didn't win the white female vote. They think it was 53% went to Trump. Where are we at now?
Oh, there is certainly a gender gap. You know, you've got, it's, you know, 19 points on the difference between how men are voting Republican, women voting for Democrats. But there's something, here's what's underneath that. And this is in these competitive House districts. What's happened is there's a lot of women, a lot of voters generally. We think it's about a third of everybody, who say that the economy is good. Now, typically, that would favor the party in power, right? The economy is good, therefore, the direction of the country might be
good. The thing just came out. We're the most competitive country in the world for the first time since 2008. You would think that that could be just paves your way to the election.
And you know, one would suspect that would be the way, and I've seen interviews now with a number of Republican officials, that that's the way some of them had wanted to run and argue the case in the midterms. But these folks, at the same time they say the economy is good, and there's, like I said, there's a lot of women in this group, they say they do not like the direction of the country. And those two things are sometimes correlated, but they're not for these folks. They don't like the direction of the country. You unpack that a little bit, and frankly, they do not like the way the president is handling his job. They give him a very low approval rating. That's part of what they determine as
CBS Echo ABC's number at 41?
It's in the low 40s, and it has been. I mean, look, I think we've talked about this before. It's one of the most stable approval ratings we've seen.
41.5.
Yeah, average. You know, it doesn't move. That's a function of partisanship, too. But the point here is, if the president is a factor for these folks, and he certainly is, and they don't like the direction of the country, they're breaking Democrat for that reason, despite the fact that they say the economy is good, and that's one of the things that's underpinning that gender gap, right?
All right, so when you were on Sunday, you said something about where the House is trending. You said since the summer, what has happened?
Yeah, since the summer, our model has had it creeping slowly, but towards the Democrats. So this 226 I told you about earlier, it's a little over the 218. You know, we had it just a seat or so over the majority line earlier in the summer. Not a dramatic swing, but it is one. But that's why I also want to emphasize, there's a couple things going on. One is that turnout. One is the fact that, you know, one in five of these voters say they haven't voted before. If you take them out of the equation, the Democrats do not do as well. Republicans do better. But, you know, the other part of this is that difference between the House and the Senate. And part of the reason for that is that these districts are the kind of suburban, a little more affluent. They're the kind of voters where there might be a little more swing. And that's why we're watching them so close.
I want to talk about national trends and talk about the Senate. So you see it spreading out right now. If Anthony, you believe if the election was this afternoon, you believe the House goes to Democrats.
Well, that's what the model says. But like I said, I really want to emphasize that turnout point, and that is a big variable here. That and the difference of – that's why, if it were today, yes. Yes, if it were today, we've got the Dems at 226. But having said that, a lot of these races, a lot of these individual races are really close. I mean, I would not be surprised if each of these comes down to a few thousand votes. I mean, I'm going to have my hands full on election.
When guys like you were saying all these elections had Hillary Clinton up but too close to call, I said, why don't you think it could go the other way? I said, they're telling you it's too close to call. Just because somebody's up by 1 or 2 points, it doesn't mean it's going to go their direction and end up going Trump's direction in a lot of those states, Michigan and Wisconsin. We're going to come back a few more minutes. I want to ask Anthony the question, is it possible to be a compromiser and be successful in politics today?
It's Brian Kilmeade.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control over your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank account, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problems now by calling the experts at Tax Mediation Services and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. Tax Mediation Services is accredited by the Better Business Bureau. Call now for a free case review and a price protection guaranteed quote.
Call Tax Mediation Services now at 800-316-4935. That's 800-316-4935. 800-316-4935.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-225-9306. That's 800-225-9306.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-225-9306. That's 800-225-9306.
Call today.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
At Powerhouse Solar, we understand that each home has unique energy needs. We custom design your solar energy system to not only meet those needs, but to allow for growth, just in case you see a pool, spa, or electric car in your future. Hi, I'm Sue Blake, co-owner of Powerhouse Solar. At Powerhouse Solar, we are experts at designing and installing quality systems utilizing SunPower Solar. We install the SunPower package because it includes the panels, built-in microinverters, racking, and monitoring. One company and a bumper-to-bumper 25-year warranty. No other solar company compares to SunPower. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the perfect system for your family, and we stand behind our work. Ground rack, roof mount, or pole mount, let us design an energy-saving solar system just right for you. Talk with one of our helpful designers for your free estimate. Call 275-5600 or go to powerhousesolar.com.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
Talk. This is Fox News Talk.
Headline Rewind.
1994. Senator Ted Kennedy.
Jackie would have preferred to be just herself, but the world insisted that she be a legend, too.
Police in Anaheim say they are following a white Ford Bronco. In that is O.J. Simpson with a gun to his head.
You guys have got to be strong because you are, which I just know, I just feel in my heart that you're okay. But you got to take care of each other.
Susan Smith has been arrested and will be charged with two counts of murder in connection with the deaths of her children.
It's not a Republican victory. It's not a Democratic victory. It is the American people making a set of choices.
Can you get someone over here now to 325 Gretna Green? He's back. Please.
Okay, what does he look like?
He's O.J. Simpson. I think you know his record.
News as it happened then. News as it happens now.
This is Fox News Talk.
Senator Flake, you've announced that you're not running for re-election, and I wonder, could you have done this if you were running for re-election?
No, not a chance.
Not a chance.
No.
Because politics has become too sharp, too partisan.
Yeah. There's no value to reaching across the aisle. There's no currency for that anymore. There's no incentive.
Well, that is Senator Jeff Flake's decision, and that's his conclusion. And part of the reason why he's not running again, his numbers were terrible. And he thinks it's because, I believe, that he liked to reach across the aisle and maybe take on the president. The author of Anthony Salvanto is here. Where Did You Get This Number is the name of his book, and he's an outstanding pollster with CBS. What do you think about what Jeff Flake just said?
You know, it's interesting, and I talk about this some in the book myself, this animosity between the right and the left, between Democrats and Republicans. Look, it is there among a group of people who are really ideological and really passionate about politics. They see the other side as You know, we've done polling. They see them as a threat. They see them as different from they are besides politics. But that's not everybody. You know, that's not everybody. There is a middle in that regard. There are people who are just, you know, tired of the back and forth, want sensible solutions to problems.
American citizens or politicians? Do you think these politicians should have more courage, have they had it in the past, be willing to lose their seat in order to do what they think is right?
Well, you know, look, I don't know what the politicians are thinking, but I do know this. Campaigns seem to make a choice between whether they think an election is a base election, which means you got to go out, get those most fervent partisans, get them out there, or do a persuasion election. And they look at the numbers and they see that people are getting harder and harder to persuade. So you understand why these campaigns go after, no, the other side's the bad, you know, the bad folks, and we've just got to mobilize our own. And that may contribute to it. I will tell you this real quick, Brian. You know, we just did, as part of this poll, I asked a question, are the parties arguing about the kinds of policies they like or dislike, or the kind of people that they like or dislike? And most of the partisans saw the other side as arguing about people that they like and dislike as opposed to policy. Boy, that's hard to adjudicate. You know, that's hard to negotiate when it's become very, very personal. And I think there are a lot of Americans who have a reaction against that.
Top three issues that matter most in your polling for these midterms.
Healthcare keeps on popping up. Yeah, healthcare, no matter how many times we ask it, healthcare keeps popping up. The direction of the country generally. And I will tell you this, you know, the president, either a pro or con, is shaping up to be the biggest factor for a president that we have seen in midterms. Typically, it's a majority, a little more than a majority, who say they go to the midterm vote with the president on their mind. Right. But we're looking at record numbers for the number of people who say that this year, both for and against. Before and against.
The most intriguing race, some have looked to New Jersey. That Senator Menendez, who had a hung jury that kept him out of jail, and then was censured by the Senate.
We did pull that race, and we had Menendez up. But, you know, here's a case again where you've got partisanship. New Jersey's a blue state, so people break along partisan lines, and a lot of that seems to have put aside. There were people who weren't thrilled with what Senator Menendez had done, but were voting for him anyway in that regard. But that it helps the Democrats in places like that. It hurts them in places like, say, Missouri.
Lastly, Florida Senate race, Nelson versus Scott.
Yeah.
What has the hurricane done for Scott, do you think? You couldn't have polled it yet because he's in the middle of trying to help it.
Yeah, haven't polled it yet. The suspicion is, the questions that we'll ask is, you know, does that give Scott a chance to look like he's doing something, to act like an executive? Oftentimes, you know, natural disasters do give somebody in power a chance to do that. So that'll be one of the key things we'll watch.
Scott Nelson, would you look at it as a dead heat virtually? Right
it now? Probably is. I think the hot governor's race there probably helps boost turnout. That puts a bit of a wild card in it.
DeSantis and Gillum.
Yeah.
The mayor of Tallahassee.
Yeah. And that is one we are all going to be watching. But for a lot of reasons. The ideological divide there for sure.
Hey, Anthony, try to get some rest. Pick up his book. Where'd you get this number?
State Security is currently celebrating our 50th year of providing security services throughout the Northern California region. The next few moments I'd like to spend recruiting you as an employee of North State Security. What a better way to help make a difference in the quality of life we all deserve to experience in the greater Redding area. Becoming a licensed security officer here at North State Security is a fabulous way to help make Redding a safer place to reside and conduct business. Call us at 243-0295 or stop by our headquarters at 1970 Hartnell Avenue for more information. We are offering a unique opportunity right now. Join our ranks and immediately become eligible for winning a luxury houseboat for a week from Shasta Marina, $500 in meat from R&R Meats, or $500 shopping spree at Costco, all valued clients of ours. Becoming an employee of North State Security to win one of these exciting prizes and help make the North State a safer place to be. How can you beat an opportunity like that? North State Security, 243-0295, or visit personally, 1970 Hartnell Avenue, Redding.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Are you aware there are at least 7 million people in California who call themselves Christians? And of them, less than 15% will vote this coming election. If we are to survive the continuing moral decay of our California political leaders, every Christian must stand up, be counted, and vote. In order to return to godly moral values, Christians must vote according to the principles of the Bible. Regardless of your political party, please vote for candidates who believe in and live the values taught in the Word of God. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
ACNR 1460, your town hall of the Shasta County Airwaves with news and talk that matters to our community. Weekdays 9 to noon, The Laura Ingram Show, Your Healthy Radio Addiction. Dave Ramsey from noon to 3, celebrating 25 years of answering life's tough money questions. And 3 to 6, Drive Home with Mark Levin, one of America's most popular conservative commentators and constitutional expert. KCNR 1460 with you throughout the day on your radio or streaming live. Miss a day, miss a lot.
Are you entertainment-minded? Do you like to hear people discuss fun topics?
Well, we talk about all things pop culture.
From movies and TV to books, music, games, and everything in between. But with a twist, everything is not very current.
We'll talk about things we recently discovered and have decided we just have to share our thoughts on.
Which gives us the title of our show.
We're a little behind.
Hosted by us, Chris and Jen Gomez.
Join us every Tuesday night from 6 to 7 p.m. for We're a Little Behind. Right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM.
From the historical audio archives of Fox News Talk.
Gore Vidal is best known as an American novelist and known as one of the most prominent liberal public intellectuals of the 20th century. Here is Vidal in the early 60s on the political state of art in the U.S.
You are born into a society and you are shaped by it, whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not. Each of us is born into a prison of received opinion, of superstition, and of prejudices. Now, one of the functions of art is to try and define the prison. A, the artist must know he's in it, and many of them don't, and those are the bad artists. They just take it for granted. This is the way things are. They don't know that there are worlds, as Shakespeare said, there is a world elsewhere. They don't see anything past these bars. The prison is going to break you eventually, but you can at least get a look out. And it's the look out that is art.
Stay tuned to hear more history as it unfolds before your ears. It's the audio archives of Fox News Talk.
This is Fox on Justice. All 12 members of the jury must agree that a defendant is guilty of a crime, but not in Louisiana, where a jury can vote 11 to 1 or 10 to 2 for a felony conviction. The law goes back to 1880, soon after the passage of the 14th Amendment to the U.S. Constitution, opening up jury service to African Americans. Louisiana changed its state constitution
to perpetuate the supremacy of the Anglo-Saxon race in Louisiana.
Angela Allen Bell, reading from 1880 documents, she's leading the charge to change the law, which she says is a throwback to Jim Crow times, designed to lock up black people.
Completely in violation of law as well as human rights principles.
Oregon is the only other state with a similar law. But on Election Day, Louisiana voters will be asked whether they want to get rid of the non-unanimous verdicts and require a 12-to-nothing jury vote to find someone guilty. With Fox on Justice, Hank Weinblum, Fox News.
You think. This is the Brian Kilmeade Show. Now it is time to clear the airwaves of the Brian Kilmeade Show for the original receptive voice.
That is the stupidest line I've ever heard. I don't know why they keep using it.
What should we call you, Mr. Wallace?
I'd like once in my life somebody to say Chris Wallace, oligarch.
The man who sat with Vladimir Putin. The man who vacations in Russia.
The man who calls George Clooney a friend. Chris Wallace, oligarch.
Hi, Chris.
Where are you?
I'm in Tampa.
You're in Tampa?
Yeah.
What, selling a book? Or
WXJB. WXJB is one of my affiliates. They love you, by the way. They love our spots together when you call in. They find out a lot about you. They said they find out more about you when you call into my show for 10 minutes than they do from watching you all week. So that's the wrap on you. So
well, I don't. It's not. See, here's the difference, because with you, it's always all about you. But with me, it's about the news and the truth. That's the difference between.
So I don't know why you're laughing. About the news and truth.
It's true.
Brian, kill me.
I'm in the truth business.
Right. So, in other words, my slogan should be Brian, the Brian Kilmeade Show, a place not to come if you want the truth.
Just remember, it used to be called, didn't it used to be called Kilmeade and Friends?
Yep.
And now what's it called?
Brian Kilmeade Show.
Yeah, exactly. Is Fox News Sunday called the Chris Wallace Show? Actually, I tried for it. My agent couldn't get it, but anyway.
So listen, you know what I'm doing tonight? And tell me if you would buy a ticket to this. Are you ready? I am going to do this show, America Great from the Start. It's going to go about an hour and 15 minutes, although I've only rehearsed it once. And I'm going to be able to talk about three American stories, from George Washington's Secret Six to Thomas Jefferson Tripoli Pirates to Andrew Jackson's Miracle of New Orleans, including with the new afterword, which looks about past presidents from Reagan to Lincoln, what they thought of Jackson. And then I'm going to also segue a little about my sports background and be able to open up to the audience and talk about politics today. I can't wait. But with Chris Wallace, the pedestrian, not the news guru, would you buy a ticket to that?
Well, here's a question. I mean, is it just you on the stage for an hour and 15 minutes?
Yeah.
Do you have audio-visual stuff? Do you have, like, an interview with Andrew Jackson? Or?
No. I have two or three surprises that are going to be – that have not been seen outside my circle, and I got this huge entourage now. I mean, I don't even know everybody's name. They all have earpieces. And they have a lot of production value, and it's going to be on Fox Nation.
So have you ever done this before, a live audience before?
Well, I did stand-up for 10 years. I'm not worried
about it. I didn't say have you ever been before a live audience. I said have you ever done this show before a live audience?
No. In fact, even
Well, then I would absolutely go, because I think the capacity for a train wreck is just hanging out there.
So
yeah,
you watch,
I'd go to see you fall flat on your face. Absolutely.
Would you bring Lorraine?
Could I make it
a date night?
Let's not push it.
All right. But I would say this. You're a guy who watches the skating and the gymnastics, hoping they fall off the uneven bars, hoping the double Lutz ends up being ends up with the figure skater on the ground, on the ice.
Tell me that that's not a good time.
It is.
It is a little bit when you see them go down. I'll be watching it. And I don't know if you remember the prize fight. I'm sure you do. Between Joe Frazier and Foreman. I think it was in Jamaica or something back in the 70s.
Yep.
And Frazier was the heavyweight champion of the world, and Howard Cosell was announcing it. And as Foreman just knocked, I think he knocked him down 8 times in one round, he goes, "And Frazier goes down! Ah, Frazier!" And occasionally I will say that about some sweet little figure skater. "And so-and-so goes down."
That is very interesting. I do remember that fight because Frazier gets in the ring having beaten Muhammad Ali, who was thought to be unbeatable after 3.5 years in exile. And here's this Olympic champion who's knocking out people, but they say he's not going to be able to stand Joe Frazier's left hook. And remember, you can't hurt Frazier. He just won 15 rounds with Muhammad Ali and knocked him down. And next thing you know, to see Frazier go down before your eyes, and who this behemoth was, this George Foreman, who smiled once every 10 years, they said to themselves, this guy's going to be champion forever. And Frazier said to me in my first big interview ever, I interviewed him at the Waldorf, and I'm interviewing him, and I said, he said, "I would love to fight Foreman again." He goes, "But I don't think it'll be a different result. My goal in life would be to get in the ring with Tyson." At this time, Tyson's 23 years old, and hadn't beaten up his son yet, Marvin. And I said, "Why would you want to get in the ring with Tyson? People are afraid." He goes, "I just want to feel it. I just want to feel how powerful he is." And I thought to myself, that is a different mindset than I could even understand.
I want to feel that fist smashing into my jaw. I really just want to feel. May I say, incidentally, that this anecdote that you told now was gold. You need to include that in your performance tonight, because I think talking about Joe Frazier and George Foreman from 40 years ago, your audience is going to love this.
Wow. I can't believe it. I thought we were bonding, and it really just, it was exactly the reverse.
I don't know. I think we're two old guys, and, you know, I think we could do well at a retirement village. I think we'd sit on that point. Hey, remember that Frazier-Foreman fight? Oh, my God, and Howard Cosell. Frazier goes down.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Oh, that's right. How'd you get that?
That is Pete and Eric doing some magic behind the scenes. Pete's a big rock guy.
It wasn't Frazier goes down. Down goes Frazier. That was great.
One more time, Eric.
Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
Wow. I mean,
that's good. Now that is good stuff. I would definitely pay to hear an hour and a half of Howard Cosell. Of course, he's passed from this mortal coil, so that would not be so easy.
Have you met him?
Yes, I did, with my father. I met him a few times.
And did you like him?
Well, I mean, come on. He was larger than life. He was this showman, and he was identified with every big sports event in the world. And sure, I was excited to meet him.
Yeah, I mean, he gave relevance to everything. He made you feel as though sports mattered more than ever. Because, you know, just what he said, even when you were critical of him and if he was full of himself, I get it. But just his voice, and when his voice said what was happening, how could this man who withstood the fury of Muhammad Ali be going down so easily from this Olympic champion? But I'll talk a little bit now since we had a chance to reminisce, and in your terms, bored people.
I think your Howard Cosell reminiscence is going to work very well, too, tonight. I think you should go with a Jackie Roosevelt Robinson. The man who broke the color line.
Okay. All right. I'll try to rescue this segment. Can we do that?
I think it's gone. I think we're on life support. But go ahead. Put the defibrillators out there. Let's try to save it.
I'm going
to
do it. Before I play this soundbite, I will tell you I have no problem with it because I've been watching Donald Trump. I get it. Cut one.
But Greg is smart. And by the way, never wrestle him. You understand that? Never. Any guy that can do a body slam, he's my kind. I shouldn't say this, but there's nothing to be embarrassed about. And we endorsed Greg very early, but I had heard that he body slammed a reporter.
Greg Gianforte, who ended up winning a special election in Montana to fill Ryan Zinke's seat, the president having fun with the fact that he did that and still won. That's Trump. Do you have a problem with it?
Well, I think this particular week, and I know people are going to say, oh, he's a stick in the mud, but this particular week when the world is focused on the brutal murder of Jamal Khashoggi, I know they're different things, I'm not sure that sitting there having fun with a guy who attacked and hurt a reporter who was just doing his job is necessarily the smartest move.
All right. Let's move on and talk. I don't see any relation, and you know Trump, that he's a little different. It's not George Bush breaking format. You know, it's not Bill Clinton doing that. It's the way he does. He plays to this massive audience who believes what he believes. By the way, his crowds are out of control, large and
you know
loud.
What I think your crowd tonight is going to be?
What?
Under control, small. I don't think it's going to be out of control, Lars. But you could, I don't know. Well, I can't wait for you to tell me next week how this went.
Well, not only that, I'm doing Saturday.
I think this could be a double axle into the ice.
Chris, Saturday is in Norfolk, Virginia. So, and then Sunday is in Nashville. And then I'm done. And we'll see how that goes. And then
Sunday you might get it together.
I think if I were going to go right away.
I would go to the Nashville performance because I think Tampa's probably going to be a disaster.
It is not going to be a disaster. This is what I do every day.
Hey, folks, if you're looking for a train wreck, I mean, it'll be entertaining. There's no question about it. It'll be entertaining.
Oh, my goodness. To not have Chris Wallace in my corner is really disconcerting.
I'm like a cut man for a fighter, too. Like when George Foreman fought Frazier, I'm like the cut man. Cut me, Jimmy, cut me.
Right. That was a Rocky movie, but I know what you mean. And by the way, no one ever said that. That was just for the movies. Saudi Arabia. Let's talk about it. Mike Pompeo goes to visit Turkey. He's trying to put this thing together, or is he trying to get his story together? Here is Mike Pompeo at the White House. Cut 27.
I told President Trump this morning that we ought to give them a few more days to complete that so that we, too, have a complete understanding of the facts surrounding that, at which point we can make decisions about how or if the United States should respond to the incident surrounding Mr. Khashoggi.
So, do you have a problem with the president's pace in this investigation, and do you agree the Secretary of State's advice to the president to give the Saudis some time?
I think asking Saudi Arabia to do a transparent and complete investigation of what happened to Jamal Khashoggi is like asking O.J. Simpson to do an investigation of who killed Nicole Brown. Clearly the Saudis were involved in this. Clearly it was a Saudi hit squad that killed this guy. Were there direct orders from the Crown Prince, Mohammed bin Salman, MBS? I don't know, but I think that whoever did it knew that he would like it and wasn't upset with it. And my guess is he wouldn't do it without his approval. And, we do have a real dilemma here because it was a horrible attack. It was a barbaric action on their part. How they ever thought they were going to get away with it, I don't know. But having said that, we do have a relationship with Saudi Arabia that you can't just blow up. We depend on them for cheap oil. We depend on them as a counterweight to Iran and a source of stability in the Middle East. But you can't let this thing go unpunished. And even if he wanted to, there are a lot of top members of Congress, including a lot of top Republicans, like Lindsey Graham, like Bob Corker, like our guest on Sunday, Rand Paul, who are saying, I don't care what our relationship is with Saudi Arabia. You can't just let this pass and act as if nothing happened here.
Chris, but what is enough? What is enough? So you said you admit that you can't blow up the relationship. The president thinks out loud. You don't have to get a source within the White House that says the president's mindset is. He actually tells you. He said, this is bad. If this is true, if he knew about it, it's real bad. All right, we don't know, but if there is a tape, if they show it's real bad, what is enough?
I don't know. I'll be honest. I don't know. But I think you have to do something that hurts, that says to the world that we don't countenance that, that that is not the way the U.S. and U.S. allies act. And, people are saying, well, we need to get MBS out of there. Last time I checked, I don't think we have control over the royal family. But I will say this. Somebody said that MBS, Mohammed bin Salman, the crown prince who's really running the country, betrayed us because we put a lot of effort. I mean, this was the first trip that President Trump took in 2017. First foreign trip was to Saudi Arabia. We put a lot of eggs in that basket, and for him to act in such a wanton, reckless fashion really undercuts us in the Middle East and around the world. He's not a very dependable ally. There's no question about it.
And keep this in mind. If you have a pen handy, you might want to jot this down. Rand Paul doesn't want us in the Middle East at all. It's not like he's saying, I was supporting Saudi Arabia until this killing. He wants us out of Afghanistan. He wants us out of Iraq. He wants us out of
How about Lindsey Graham? Lindsey Graham doesn't feel that way.
Oh, I know. But I'm just saying the guest that you have is already, he felt that way before this incident.
Oh, because I trashed your appearance tonight. You're now going to trash my guest. Nice.
Well, I'm not saying they're unrelated. But yeah. Lindsey Graham did say on our show he's calling for that crown prince to leave and a new crown prince to come in. He likes
the
one.
Do we get a vote on who the crown prince of Saudi Arabia is?
I punched my ballot. You didn't? Or you have a hanging chat?
Yeah, I got an absentee ballot.
Oh, you do? Oh,
yeah. So now on the folks in Tampa, are they still loving this hit, or are they thinking to themselves, what the heck did we get ourselves into here?
No, listen, I think we did the impossible. We wove in, we revealed the relationship that we have with each other. We revealed that you don't support me in my time of need.
But it ain't that good a relationship.
And then when I talk substance, I think we gave the audience something. So I think that this is something that broadcasting students in universities around the country will be studying.
Okay. All right. And can I tell you something else we've got, which is great? And this actually affects Florida. Our power player of the week. You can see we're a little light on guests. We're still working on this. But our power player of the week, Jose Andres, who is one of the world-famous chefs, has Michelin-starred restaurants. You have to spend a fortune to go to one of his restaurants. But he has started something called the World Central Kitchen. And whenever there's a natural disaster, he goes there to do it. And he's
awesome.
Right now in the Panhandle in Panama City.
Great.
And Mexico Beach. And he is feeding tens of thousands of Floridians every day. And instead of doing his perfect little appetizers, he is cooking vats of stew and paella and making thousands of sandwiches. He's cooked already more than 50,000 meals since last Sunday. And we're going to talk to him about food relief and about helping people. See, he is in the business. It's not all about him. He's in the business of helping other people. And I think actually you could learn from him.
Thank you. It all comes back to a lesson for me. Allison, could you jot that down? Help other people. I keep forgetting that.
Yeah.
Chris Wallace, we're going to see you Sunday.
Okay. Well, thank you. And folks, I would advise you to watch, because who knows? This could be the first and only appearance ever in this show by Brian Kilmeade. So you may want to, you know, it'll be something years from now, like the Frazier-Foreman fight. You can say, do you remember that?
WXJB Studio says goodbye to Chris Wallace. Bye, Chris.
Goodbye.
I'm not entirely happy at looking at the New York Times bestseller list, and there's your damn book on the list. That's what, something you take to the grave, New York Times bestseller, and now you've done it with two different books.
Three? Yeah.
I'm not especially pleased about that.
One of the most popular talk show hosts in the country, because, darn it, people like him.
Why do I go on the Brian Kilmeade show? Because, I mean, compared to Rachel Maddow, you're terrific.
You're with Brian Kilmeade.
Do you have an idea for an invention or new product? Do you think companies would be interested in your idea? Do you want to try to get a patent? Then call InventHelp now. InventHelp keeps your idea confidential and explains every step of the invention process. We create professional materials representing your idea and submit it to companies who are looking for new ideas. We have more than 9,000 companies who have agreed to review ideas in confidence. If a company shows interest in manufacturing your invention, we can negotiate on your behalf. We have helped over 10,000 clients receive patents. We also offer services including 3D modeling and animation demonstrating your idea, prototyping services, and we use state-of-the-art technology to show InventHelp client ideas to additional companies. Join the thousands of people just like you who chose InventHelp to pursue their idea. We are experienced. We are working for you. We are InventHelp.
Call us for free information at 1-800-545-0785. That's 1-800-545-0785. Again, 1-800-545-0785.
Attention business owners and independent contractors. This is a money-saving message from Tax Mediation Services. If your business owes $20,000 or more in taxes, we can help you today, right now. Listen, dealing with the IRS is no picnic. It's an intimidating and extremely stressful process, and you don't want to go it alone. Our attorneys know every law, every tax break, and every possible opportunity to help you resolve and reduce your tax debt. And if you owe more than $20,000, you may be at the top of their hit list. So don't take your tax debt lightly, because it will not go away on its own. The IRS can seize your bank accounts, your home, and even shut down your business. Call our tax experts today at 1-800-318-6934 and let us deal with the IRS while you focus on your business. That's 1-800-318-6934. Again, that's 800-318-6934.
What shall we do about them?
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868.
Why not get the best?
I actually got physically sick. I thought to myself, this cannot be happening. It took me a good year to compose myself to be in public again. I want to send the military to the White House to get him.
Rosie O'Donnell, not overreacting to Donald Trump being president. Remember he was going to be impeached? Nope. Remember he wasn't going to win? Turns out he wasn't, he isn't, and he did. Rosie O'Donnell can't handle it. Can you imagine having a meltdown because of a president? She sits there in a multi-million dollar mansion doing whatever she wants, how long she wants, and she can't handle that Donald Trump is president. By the way, last night I had a chance to speak at a Christian high school, and WVGA is our affiliate in Valdosta, Georgia. And you know they carry us. You always hear their callers on 105.9. And Steve Nichols had a chance to meet the morning show guy there. He's a great guy. And everybody in Valdosta who came out and had a chance to talk to could not be more impressed. It's such an honor to be on in that area as it is in Tampa right now.
Hi, I'm Joan London. When I needed to find senior care for my mom, I really struggled to find the right fit until I found an advisor, someone who had been through this before. That's why I recommend A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service. They have experts who will help you ask the right questions and find the right place. Call A Place for Mom today.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-225-9306. That's 800-225-9306.
A Place for Mom has helped over 200,000 families find the right senior care for their parents, from assisted living to independent living, even Alzheimer's care, and have local advisors that can help explain your options at no cost to you.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-225-9306. That's 800-225-9306.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Three Dog Night is coming to Reading's historic Cascade Theater October 28th. Don't miss this chance to see Three Dog Night and hear all their iconic hits in the intimate setting of the Cascade. Three Dog Night, October 28th. Get tickets at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.